Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for the Tech Guy is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com. Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. This show originally aired on the Premier Networks on April 19th, 2014. This is episode 1075. Enjoy. The Tech Guy podcast is brought to you by Ring Central, the cloud-based phone system we use just got better with the launch of Meetings, the full-service video conference feature. Zero startup costs, and Ring Central starts at under $25 a month per user. Try it now with a 30-day risk-free trial. When you buy one desk phone, you'll get a second phone free, up to a total of 20 phones. Call 800-543-9980 or visit ringcentral.com and use the promo code TWIT. And by NatureBox, where you can order great-tasting, healthy snacks delivered right to your door. Forget the vending machine. Get in shape with healthy, delicious treats like whole wheat figgy bars. Oh, they're so good! To get 50% off your first box, go to naturebox.com/twit. naturebox.com/twit. And by Personal Capital. With Personal Capital, you'll finally have all your financial life in one place and get a clear view of everything you owe. Best of all, it's free. To sign up, go to personalcapital.com/tech guy. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy. And it's time to talk about computers and the internet. Oh, that's nice. And maybe some smartphones. Sure, you betcha. Or maybe a little bit of, we'll talk about home theater too. All of that, everything, anything with a chip in it. 8888 Ask Leo's the phone number. You'll be calling the home ranger. The phone ranger, Heather Hammon, who's got her mommin. Do you call your mom mommin?
I haven't, but that's a good idea. Yeah, I call her mom and Shantz, actually, mom, if you understand that.
I do. The puppet dance company. Sure.
Thank you.
That's what I'd call her, too. And your lovely aunt. So she'll have help in the booth. You know, oddly, normally in a radio station, the show host has a nice booth, and then they put the call screen in a little teeny-weeny cubicle, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tiny little
barely
place.
Barely a closet.
Just enough room for you and a bunch of equipment. For some reason, it's exactly the opposite here. I'm in a tiny little room, and you have the entire Tech Guy Labs at your disposal. You could jog laps if you wished. That's okay. That's good. I think it's the way it ought to be.
Yeah. Keep the weight off.
8888 Ask Leo is the number. 888-827-5536. Toll-free from anywhere in the Northern America region. Or actually, I think it's just Canada and the USA. But the rest of the world, you can always use Skype out to reach us because that's toll-free. 888-827-5536. Our website is techguylabs.com. Techguylabs.com. So did you survive Heartbleed Week? We talked last week about it and what you should do, and it's not a big deal. And although as time goes by, it does seem to be a bigger deal than we might have imagined. Apparently, the Canadian Tax Service got mugged by a guy with the using the Heartbleed exploit. This is a way, if you haven't heard, that a bad guy can get into servers and read their memory just a little bit at a time, 64K at a time, just... And he can't really specify what he wants. He just says, you know, give me whatever you got. But what's in there can be a lot of things, like your login and your password might be in there if he times it just right, or somebody else's login and password. But it might be other things, server keys and so forth. So it was a pretty big bug. It's been around for 2 years. As best anyone can tell, it wasn't really widely known because... You would expect, if it were widely known, to have seen activity. And they have these things, they call them honeypots, that the good guys run honeypots all the time. They're running right now all the time. And they're just web servers out in the world, just sitting there acting attractive and waiting for people to attempt to hack them. And they can kind of log all that activity. Those honeypots are very useful because you can go back and look at the previous logs and see, for instance... if anybody was scanning for Heartbleed, because you could tell if you're logging all the activity, you could say, well, yes, yeah, somebody did the Heartbleed attack. And as far as we can tell, over the past 2 years, there hasn't been widespread scanning of the internet. There might have been some targeted attacks, but the honeypots have registered nothing. Nevertheless, once people found out about Heartbleed, and it turns out Google knew about it a couple of months ago, and they patched their stuff, and others knew about it shortly thereafter, and they patched their stuff. But if they didn't patch their stuff quickly enough, and unfortunately the big sites have, but the little ones seem to be slow at this. Sometimes they don't even, it's like there's nobody there. There's so little. No, they check in every few months. There's a little shack somewhere in the Alaskan tundra, and somebody drives up in his Land Rover, opens the door, says, anybody in here? Everything okay? Still running? Goes home. Those servers, wherever they are, those have not been patched at a very great rate. But you're probably safe now if you haven't already changed your passwords on your critical accounts, the ones you want to keep secure, your email, your banking, your e-commerce. This would be a good time to do it. And we mentioned, and in fact, I made a little video, which I think we've put on the website, a link to on the website, techhighlabs.com, on how to use something called LastPass. There are lots of these. There's Dashlane and 1Password and RoboForm. These are password vaults. They're secure. They allow you to use strong passwords because you don't have to remember them. You know, the problem with passwords is we want to remember them. But that leads you to using passwords that aren't so good, like your birth date plus your daughter's, you know, middle name. These things are not very good passwords. They seem good. Turns out they're not. The best password is a really, really random mix of upper and lowercase letters, numbers, and punctuation, if the site allows. Sometimes they don't. And if you mix that all up in a good stew, in a completely patternless stew that's lengthy, you know, 16, I usually use 20 or more characters. You're not going to remember that. You can't memorize that. But nor can the bad guy crack it. It's very hard to crack those by the normal attacks. So use those and use a password manager to remember them, because you're not going to. But the password manager is very good at both generating them and remembering them. I use LastPass. I do recommend that. But there are other good ones out there. Anything is better than nothing. 8888-ASK, Leo, is the phone number. I was watching American Idol. Okay, guilty pleasure. But what I do is I TiVo it so I can zip through the commercials, because apparently there's 80 commercials an hour on that show. And, of course, they're really sneaky. They go, wait a minute, we're going to take a break and we'll find out what's going to happen to you right after 18 minutes of commercials. So I admit it. I'm a bad, bad man. I don't give the networks their due. I skip through those commercials. But I was watching, so I TiVo it. So I was watching this morning. I'm explaining why I was watching this morning. And how many Samsung, I did notice as I zipped by how many Samsung Galaxy S5 ads there are. T-Mobile's got them. Verizon's got them. Samsung pumps money into these commercials for this new phone. So the way Samsung does it apparently is that the marketing budget is directly tied to the profits. So the marketing budget of the cell phone division is directly tied to the profits. The profits are huge. Marketing goes up. Profits go up. And it is a vicious circle that means that they are spending hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars in marketing this phone. So you will see ads everywhere. And, of course, that's why it is right now the phone. Except it's not. And I'm here to tell you it's not. The Galaxy phones, they have really larded them up with stuff that just gets in the way, that's junky. They're junky to the touch. There are better choices out there. So don't be fooled. You'll see a lot of ads and a lot of come-ons. T-Mobile says, it won't cost you a penny to get a Galaxy S5 on T-Mobile. Verizon says, buy one, we'll give you a second one free. This is all marketing dollars from Samsung. And no wonder this phone is so successful. It blew me away. I saw not one ad for the phone I think is the best phone out there, best Android phone out there right now, the HTC One, the new one, the M8. Didn't see one ad for that. Didn't see any iPhone ads either, though, but because Apple doesn't bother advertising until there's a new one, and there won't be a new one out for a while, probably this fall. didn't see any Windows Phones ads either. And, you know, I just ordered a gigantophone, the Nokia 1520. It's a 6-inch screen. Just because, you know, Windows 8.1 just came out, or it's about to come out. Any minute now, you can actually get it easily enough by signing up for the free developer account and downloading it. And it makes the phone, I think, a lot better. I think it's good enough now to really be a strong competitor to the iPhone and Android phones. And I love a three-horse race. I do. A two-horse race isn't as much fun. A one-horse race, boring. And not good for you or me because there's no competition. So Apple dominated from 2007 to 2010. Apple owned it. But the Android phones got better and better. And starting in 2010, they started to compete strongly. And that's good. And I want to see Windows Phone in there, too. Come on, I'm rooting for you. It's coming around the turn. It's Windows Phone in the third place. It's Windows Phone in fourth place. There isn't even a fifth place. Come on, Windows Phone. Come on. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Your call's next. The HTC One is easily 10 times better than this S5. But all you're going to see is ads for the S5. It's very depressing to me. And there are other good ones. I didn't mention, you know, the new LG is great. Making bacon pancakes. I love the bacon pancakes. We're going to have a little Easter brunch in the studio tomorrow with bacon pancakes. What is the origin of this? It was an internet meme. And I think it was like some sort of, Cartoon Network kind of Adult Swim. It's Adventure Time. And they took a little bit of it and they just loop it over and over. Is that it? Yeah. Nathan Staten, our musical director, knows all. Cakes! I like that part. Is this a famous character in... Yeah, he doesn't know his name. He's one of the main characters. He's making bacon pancakes. Cakes! Cakes!
It is catchy.
Adventure Time, baby. Is that that's an Adult Swim thing? I don't want to get in trouble here. A lot of geeks do this, though. There's a kind of a juvenile thing that goes on. The geeks, they get to adulthood, and they don't give up comics and cartoons, ray guns and space adventures, Tom Swift and all that stuff. We just celebrate our eternal youth. We are Peter Pan, and what's the equivalent? What's the female equivalent of a Peter Pan?
Wendy.
Your mom knew that one. Wendy. We are the Peter Pan and Wendy generation. We just bake and pancakes. I don't really want to watch cartoons when I get home after work. It's just not. But I guess if you watch the Real Housewives of Bel-Air, that's a cartoon and just real people in it. 8888 Ask Leo. That's the number, 888-827-5536. Heather Hammond, you have been lining people up all morning.
Well, you lobbed it right over the plate. Because speaking of your eternal childhood,
yes.
Pete in San Gabriel's having troubles with his little game,
uh-oh.
Candy Crush.
Uh-oh, Candy Crush troubles. Hi, Pete. Hello, Pete. Oh, wait a minute. Hi, Pete.
Hi.
I'm sorry, I had to get the chocolate guy to match up so I could crush it.
My Candy Crush saga. Actually, it's my HTC Smart Android phone.
Yeah,
it's a 4G. So it's got the 3D camera on it.
Yeah,
and I love that phone. I love this phone. But the thing is, when I play my Candy Crush lately,
tasty.
I've been having these pieces
delicious.
Move that I don't want them to move. And
oh, so it's like a touch screen. It's a touch screen thing. Fake
yeah,
touches.
Uh-huh. And then what I do is I shut down the screen to sleep mode, you know?
Yeah.
And I wake it back up. I pull my ring and it comes back to the game and I can
sugar
do it for
crush.
A while. And then also it involves, it's I think it's the touch screen.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, I think it is the touchscreen.
Yeah, because it also involves my Sudoku.
Yes, yeah. So other games are doing the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and it's frustrating to me.
Sweet.
Now I want to know if if it can be fixed, or am I going to have to get a new phone?
It probably can't. It's software, I think. I mean, sometimes you would think this would be hardware, but in fact, I think it's software. If it's hardware, it can't be fixed, and then you'd have to replace the phone. It's due, by the way. That phone is 3 years old now, right?
I think so, because everybody's saying, "Oh, we don't have that phone."
The Bionic. You know, the funny thing about that is that that it's very slow. Also, I found that phone to be very painful to use, even when it came out. So it would be one way to fix this would be to get a newer phone, which would be much faster, much more responsive.
Now there is one question I have is.
But I think also upgrading the firmware would probably help. Have you checked for updates lately? Who's your carrier?
Virgin Mobile.
Virgin Mobile.
Yeah,
I would check for you know, in the settings at the very bottom where it says about the phone. There's a check for system update. A firmware update might well fix that.
Delicious. Okay.
And then do you hear something? Cause it feels like you might be playing Candy Crush while we're talking. I don't know.
Dubai.
No.
I'm just teasing you. I had to erase that game from my phone. That game, it is totally addictive.
Sugar Crush.
And
I'm stuck on one level right now after I've gone through
30. 30, right? 30.
You only got 30?
No, level 30. That's a tough level. Oh, you're past 30?
Oh, I want already to 169, right?
Oh!
Cross the tracks, but...
you don't have to tell me, but how much money have you spent now on that?
Oh, that one I don't. I just leave.
Good.
Let the lives.
You just annoy your Facebook friends.
Yeah.
That's what you do to get those extra levels. You say, annoy your Facebook friends. So, now we're going to put him in the secret booth and see if he can solve the chocolate level.
What I was going to ask you was, what do you think about refurbished phones?
Well, the problem with a refurbished phone is you're gonna go to an older phone, and nowadays the phones have really. Oh, I think we lost him. He just disappeared. It's time for a new phone. He dropped right off there. That's that little bunk. Maybe he wanted to play a little Candy Crush. How many people are getting twitchy fingers? I bet about half of you are pulling out your phone. Some kind of most addictive game ever. So, touchscreens can go bad for a couple of reasons.
I want to play.
Come on, no. Sorry. We'll just stop right there. touchscreens could go out, of course, but I've seen this kind of thing before, and it's often just software. It's just firmware issues. Not the Candy Crush game, not the Sudoku game. It's the operating system. So check to see if there's an update. I do think, frankly, it's a pretty old phone that was not good when it came out, to be honest. Refurbished phones are all right if they're not last year's or the years before. And you got to think, how much torture do phones get? They're not like a desktop computer that just kind of sits there, gathers dust. They're in people's pockets with the keys. They're getting shaked up, thrown around. I don't know if a refurbished phone is a good idea. If you're getting it from the manufacturer, then sometimes refurbished merely means somebody bought it, had a buyer's remorse, sent it back. They can't sell it as new. That is effectively new. So if it's a current phone with a full manufacturer's warranty from the manufacturer, refurb's probably fine. But I would not get a refurbished phone. And, you know, you shouldn't need to. You've had it for 3 years. You should be able to go to Virgin Mobile, say it's time for a new phone, and they should give you one free. I would take there are some very much better Android phones out there, much faster. The 3D was kind of a gimmick on that phone. I was not a fan of that phone at all. It was very sluggish and slow. I think you can do better. So take a look. I mean, my favorite right now Android phone out there is the Moto X. That's very affordable. Virgin might have that for... yeah, Mom likes that. That's good. Mama Tasha has her Moto X. Virgin Mobile might have that for, brand new, unsubsidized for $250 or $300. That means you should be free subsidized. Or the G, for if you really want to save. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Here he is, Scott Wilkinson, home theater guru. He's the editor-in-chief at the AVS Forum, avsforum.com. He's also a regular on our podcast network, Twit, where he does the Home Theater Geeks podcast. Hi, Scott.
Hey, Leo. How you doing?
So you went to see Transcendence, huh?
I did. I got to go to the world premiere last week.
Was that at the Grauman's Chinese or whatever they call it today?
Yeah, it's now the TCL Chinese. But no, it was at the Westwood Village, which is one of the best theaters in L.A. And it was in Dolby Atmos.
Now, that's the one where the speaker's over your head.
Yes.
And so it's all around you, but it's also up, which is that's the new thing.
Well, it's part of the thing.
All the kids are talking about.
Yeah, the real thing, aside from it, the speakers being above you, also on the ceiling, is that it's what's called an object-based sound system or audio system.
Yeah.
Where the mixer can take individual objects that emit sound and move them around the room with like a joystick or whatever, and steer them around the room. And it's a really interesting concept that goes way beyond 5.1 or 7.1. It's not even channel based. You know, 5.1 is five main channels and one subwoofer. 7.1 is seven main channels and one subwoofer. But object based is, I don't care how many speakers you have, I'm just going to use whatever speakers you have and move this object around the room. Transcendence, is available with a Dolby Atmos soundtrack. Not all theaters have that particular type of sound system, but if it does, I recommend going to see it, because there are certain scenes where it really is used to great effect. Now, I have to tell you, I really, really liked this movie. But in full disclosure mode, it's only getting about 19% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, that's terrible.
Really bad. Really bad.
Wow.
And so wow. I just have to say, okay, so maybe my tastes are not always in line with the mainstream.
Okay, because you're not here as a movie reviewer. You're here
I'm not.
Yeah, no, so that's fine.
Tech kind of a guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, exactly.
So let's talk about the Atmos, but I do want to see it because I like Johnny Depp and I like sci-fi. And yeah. I like the idea of putting my brain in a jar. Because that's kind of the premise of it, isn't it? You don't have to die.
He uploads his consciousness into a computer. And what I really liked about the movie is its moral ambiguity. Right, you're not sure. It's not a typical good guys, bad guys, shoot 'em up, kill the bad guys, we win, good for us.
Right,
it's like who's the good guy and who's the bad guy? It's unclear, and the moral compass shifts around. So that's all I'll say about the movie. I really liked it.
Okay, well I'm gonna go see it. It opens today, I think.
Yesterday.
Okay.
And it's not even 3D.
Oh, hallelujah.
It was released in 2D.
How did they get away with that?
And even more interesting, the entire thing was shot on film, on actual film.
Now that's interesting.
It was not shot digitally because the director, Wally Pfister, is a cameraman. He's basically a director of cinematography, for the most part. And I think he works a lot with Christopher Nolan, who was involved in this project to one degree or another. And so apparently, he believes in film, in using actual, real film and processing it photochemically and doing all the processing that way instead of in digital. Now, it was released in digital. Well, at least I saw it in digital.
So it had to be converted. So what's the point of shooting it in film?
Well,
when you convert it to digital, I guess you still might have some filmic kind of.
You have some film grain, probably, depending on the stock, the film stock that you use. It has slightly different dynamic range characteristics.
Isn't it funny that we're making a big deal about a movie shot on film? When did that become unusual? I mean, seriously, did that just become unusual?
No, there is a trend toward shooting things digitally, but just like in the recording world, in the audio recording world, music world, where some people insist upon recording to analog tape because they like the characteristics of analog tape.
Right.
you know, digital has a very hard cutoff in the audio world. You know, if you go beyond a certain volume, boom, you're into clipping.
Well, let me
and
ask you
terrible
about
distortion.
That. Let me ask you about that, because Neil Young's Pono player, we talked about, mm-hmm. the group, just got funded. It is now officially funded. They raised millions. They wanted
millions.
Yeah, something like $6 million.
Right, they wanted $800,000, and they got $6 million.
Yeah, on Kickstarter. So that's going to go ahead. But the idea of that is high bit rate. Still digital. But
still digital.
But it's high bit rate. And Neil says, this is how we record the music.
Yep.
So this is how you ought to listen to the music.
Yep.
They raised $6.2 million and got funded on Tuesday. So
This
is going to be – well, see, that's the problem with Kickstarter. I should really emphasize this. It's not a store. You're donating money because you think this would be worthwhile, but there's no guarantee you'll get anything.
Right.
But I think we will.
If you donate a certain amount, I guess you'll get a player when it comes out.
Maybe. No. You're not guaranteed. That's the point. You're not guaranteed anything.
Oh, okay.
You know, there's always the risk, and this has happened to me in a few Kickstarter projects, and nothing will ever come of it. So, but my question is, and one of the things Pono says is we're going to be, you know, I talked to, what's his name? Joe Walsh the other day. And I asked him when he records.
From the Eagles.
Yeah, from the Eagles. Life's been good to me so far. And he and Rocky Mountain High and all that. And he's a great, great recording artist. He records his own stuff. I asked him, what do you record in? He says, well, you know, CD quality is 44.1 kilohertz, 16-bit. He records 44.1, 24-bit.
Mm-hmm.
He says, and there's no point. The file size gets too big if you do more samples. But the Pono player can do a lot more, like four times better, 192 kilohertz, 24-bit. So what do you think about all this? You know, you and I are too old probably to hear the difference, I would guess.
Exactly. Well, in the sense of number of samples, yes, probably so.
Yeah.
The more samples you take, the greater the frequency range. You can record higher and higher frequencies. The greater the bit depth, 16-bit, 24-bit, the greater the dynamic range. And you and I can probably still hear that.
Right.
So I think it's worth doing in 24-bit. I think it's worth doing in higher than 44.1 kilohertz, which is the CD sample.
A lot of albums are recorded that way. So just because Joe doesn't mean everybody doesn't.
Right. The higher the sample rate, the less severe filter you have to use to filter out those high frequencies, because you can't get let those get into the recording, because if they do, they'll cause weird artifacts.
Okay. But it's not analog still. It's not like, analog, you'd have to either be sitting in the middle of the orchestra, or I guess you'd have to have a record player. But that has its own problems, you know,
yes,
vinyl.
Yes, it does. Yeah, although vinyl is experiencing a resurgence these days.
That means that more than one person's buying it. A resurgence, when you're down to nothing, it's like saying, hey, there's a resurgence of people shooting movies on film. One movie, that's a resurgence.
Yeah, right. No, it's a philosophical thing more than anything else.
That's my question is, can you hear the difference? There's some who say the Pono player is snake oil because you're not going to hear the difference.
And there are many people who say that. There are some people who say you shouldn't even record at 192 kilohertz because
you're just wasting space.
You're wasting space. Yeah,
well,
of course,
space is cheap.
Cheap, yeah, exactly.
So
exactly.
Let's waste space and see.
Exactly. Well, I think 96 kilohertz is a good compromise. It's a good thing to use. You get all the bandwidth frequencies that you want. 24-bit give you all the dynamic range you want.
Seems like that would be good.
I think so.
Presuming this all goes well, I ordered one. I'll have one in, they say, September, and we'll see.
Uh-huh.
Good DACs, digital to audio converters.
Made by Air Audio, very good audio company.
And I'm going to go see Transcendence, and I'll
Please
let you
do.
Know what I think. Scott Wilkinson,
Please.
Leo Laporte, your calls right after this. Got to have good headphones for that, though. I'll use my Edimotics with it, probably.
Yes.
I like my Edimotics. Mario! I'll let you harangue the audience for a moment.
Oh, thank you so much. I very much appreciate that, as always. James, VA3JPX, is asking, is there a noticeable difference between 44.1 kilohertz and 48 kilohertz? Not to my ear. Very little difference. I don't really hear a difference there. So, and I don't think very many people would. When you get to 96 kilohertz, depending upon how it was recorded and how it was mixed and mastered and everything, you probably, at least younger folks, can probably hear a difference. As I said, the most important part about recording at a higher frequency, at a higher sampling rate, is that the filter that you use to keep out the frequencies that you don't want to get into the recording, the high, high frequencies, can be gentler. And that means it can have fewer artifacts, in particular phase anomalies. So that's one reason to record in 96. Another reason to record in 96 kilohertz is that you can manipulate the data. And then if you're going to put it on CD, compress it down to 44.1 kilohertz and get a better product than if you started with 44.1 kilohertz. And this is really the important thing about recording at higher bit rates and also recording at higher resolution for video. You know, if you shoot digital video or scan film, which is what they did to get Transcendence into the digital theaters, if you scan at a higher resolution, say 4K or even 8K, and then bring that down to 1080p for Blu-ray, you're going to get, generally speaking, a better result than if you started at the resolution you wanted to end with. So starting with more quality, with more information, and bringing it down to the final resolution is much better, generally speaking, than starting out where you want to end up. So Red Penguin is asking, is that a red plastic cup behind me? Yes, it is.
Red Solo cup, you drink it up. I want to party. There's a song. I don't see it. Where is it? I'm looking. Red Solo cup.
Red Solo cup is
right over there. It's sitting on that, so you don't poke your eye out. I get it.
No. It's actually a digital audio device. I'll play it for you. Hang on a second.
Oh man, I'm sorry. I brought that up. He's going to play his solo cup.
You're a solo cup player? Oh. Yes. So notice...
Actually, that's a paper one, not a plastic one.
It's a paper cup. Notice it's got a long red tail on it. And the long red tail has little grooves marked into it. And if you scrape your fingernail along the grooves, it plays a little digital clip. Here it is.
Oh, my goodness. It said something. I don't know what it said, and I don't want to know. But
you probably don't want to know. I probably shouldn't have played it on the radio. But in any event.
No, I've seen those before. That's cool. Yeah.
It's pretty cool. And in fact, if in I think it's near Lancaster, Palmdale, out here in Southern California, there's a part of the road, the freeway, that if you drive on it, they've cut grooves in the road.
Yes.
And it plays
I've heard about that.
Ode to Joy, I think.
Oh, that.
Or Beethoven. Or bup-bup-bup.
Right. Gotta run.
No, William Tell. Gotta run.
Okay. Da-da-da-da. Be right back. Oh, no. Sorry. You don't have to run. I think you will soon. But by the way, I should point out that is analog, not digital.
Well, I guess it's digital in that
it's totally analog, it's just like a record player. That's
No. This is a series of little bumps.
Yeah,
I can.
It's called analog. It's just like, what do you think a record player is?
A record player is wiggles. This is digital.
Wiggles are just bumps turned sideways, Scott. Hold on a sec. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888. Ask Leo. Let's move on. Shane in Portland, Maine. Hi, Shane.
Hey, Leo. I'm so excited to be talking to you.
Well, thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
I've been following you for 15 years. When I was in college, I used to, whenever I'd go home to visit my... My mom used to get really mad at me because I'd come home and sit in front of tech TV all day.
Shane, you're monopolizing the television again. Go outside, get some fresh air, Shane. And look at you. You've become a huge success as a geek.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You work in the biz?
Yeah, I do work in the biz, actually. I am a software developer.
See? I think there's people out there who play video games as QA testers who do it solely because they wanted, when their mom said, what are you going to play video games for a living? They want to be able to say, as a matter of fact... Yes. So what can I do for you, Shane?
The reason I'm calling is I have a band. We've been playing in the Portland area for about 3 years.
What's the name of the band?
The Wee Lollies.
The Wee Lollies. I love it.
W-E-E-L-O-L-L-I-E-S. We built out a website a couple years ago, and it's somewhat languished. but one of the things that we've been talking about doing recently is live, sort of, you know, live streaming.
Totally should do this. Yes.
Yeah, some of our shows or our rehearsals even. But none of us are really sure what services to that are that's available. None of us are, you know, starving artists, but we're kind of budget-minded. And
there are free services like Ustream that are a good place to start.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what we're on Ustream as well as others, Justin TV, Ustream, BitGravity. We do all of that. And Ustream and Justin TV, I think, are free.
Okay.
You can do as simple as put up a camera. Now, the audio on these isn't super good,
right. But
it's something. And if you have fans who, you know, a lot of churches use this to share services with parishioners that can't get into the church. This is a college and high school football games, and a lot of bands. You know, the band to model yourself after is a band called Umphrey's McGee. And they have really got this down. They're an independent band. They're not with a label,
mm-hmm.
but they have created an incredible following by doing a number of very, I think, forward-looking things, including streaming concerts. You can buy concert tickets, in effect, to streaming performances. And this is a good way to do it because they raise the money ahead of time so they can do a high-quality audio and video feed. They also do some really wild. They were one of the first bands to sell you the concert as you walk out the door, initially on CDs, now on USB key sticks. As you walk out the door, they say, you enjoy the concert, $15, you can have the whole thing. And you're literally, the concert just ended, and they're giving you the concert from the soundboard. They sell headphone listening, so you can wear headphones in the show, getting audio wirelessly from the sound mixing console. They do all sorts of very innovative things. I don't know if they document anywhere where they do, but I would bet they do because Umphrey is they're kind of the leaders in this. Umphrey's McGee, it's umphreys.com, and if anyone. You know, they're kind of a progressive rock, you know, kind of, I call them a jam band, but John, who runs my studio, gets mad at me when I call him that. But if you visit umphreys.com, you can see what they're doing. And I think this is an example of a band that's done extremely well for themselves. They just have a sold-out show at the, in Port Chester, New York, at the UM Bowl. I mean, that's, you know, we're talking, these guys have a huge following. Of course, their music is good, but I think it's also great that they offer audio and video and live streaming. They call it their couch tour. So if you want to go to follow them on their couch tour, you can subscribe and it's $40. You get 8 shows and you sit on your living room couch and you watch it on your big screen TV with your surround sound and the whole thing. Now, I imagine they have many cameras at this point and they're streaming it through powerful systems and so forth. It's probably not something you want to do. Yeah, 4-camera HD director's cut. That's another thing. They let you change the camera as you watch it. They're using a system called tourgigs.com. So you might find out about that. But really, it can be just as simple as hooking up a camera to a computer, to a laptop computer, and maybe some good mics, and streaming it out through Ustream, and that's free.
All right, yeah, I'll definitely check that out.
But look at what Umphrey's is doing, because that's the end point for you. I really think that's the game. That's the game changer. They don't have a label. They don't need a label.
Yeah.
They are doing extraordinarily well, going direct to their audience. And that's the future, frankly, of all of this stuff. It's the future of every form of media. In my opinion, that's why I have a big podcast network. You know, when we did Tech TV, we worked very hard for 6 years. Paul Allen funded it. He lost hundreds of millions of dollars over 6 years. I think $300 million over 6 years because it was expensive. It was $100 million a year to get on cable systems, to have a big studio, do all that stuff. I'm trying to do exactly the same thing using the internet at a human scale. And, it works. It's great. We go direct to our audience. And it's. I think this is the future for bands. It's the future for everybody, for all media, including books. Why have a publisher these days? Do it electronically. Sell an ebook on Amazon. You make more money. Your customers have a direct relationship with you. By the way, that's the key to all this, to make it work. engagement with your community. You don't think of it as an audience anymore. This is a community. Umphrey's fans are a tight-knit community. Look what the Grateful Dead, who really pioneered this. They had the Deadheads. They followed them from they still do. They follow further from concert to concert. That's what you want. You want to build a community of devoted fans, and then that supports this. But you start small. You know, I started our network literally on Ustream. Actually, I think it was something that's gone now called Stickam. Same idea. With a Logitech camera on top of the computer while I did the radio show. And you could watch. And we built it from there. So that's where you start. You start small. You start affordable. And you can build it up from there. Good luck. I think it's great. What's the name of the band again?
The Wee Lollies.
And you have a nice little website. I like it. I like your logo. What kind of music is it? It looks like it's cool.
It's primarily rock music. It's all original stuff. But we're a little all over the map, I think.
I like it. I think you're the right kind of band for this. And I see you are posting video.
Yeah, but it's not where we want it to be, you know.
So. YouTube is great, you know. Yeah. YouTube is free. It used to be you wanted to be a big band. You had to make a very, very expensive video, millions of dollars of video, and then hope you could get it on MTV and maybe somebody would see it once in a while.
Yeah.
You put it on YouTube now. You get a million views. You can be nothing. Okay, Go did a video that had multiple millions of views. I think 35 million views on – they had a bunch of treadmills.
Yeah.
You know, it's not – And, of course, they've built up, too. It all starts small. Just remember that.
Yeah. I just mean in terms of content. We don't have the content where we want it to be yet. So.
You mean the music?
The music's there. We just don't have the video content.
The music is the content. You just have to get it out there. And I think keep doing what you're doing. You're on the right. You're asking the right questions.
All right. Well, I appreciate it.
Good luck. Wee Lollies. I'll look for you.
All right. Thank you.
TheWeeLollies.com. WeeLollies. Isn't that cool? This is what the internet hath wrought. This is why the internet, it's so important. It's so important to keep it open and free and available to all, not just big business, not just big bands, not just Stephen King, everybody, because it gives you access to, as an artist, it gives you access to your audience. As an audience, it gives you access to the artist, and creativity just explodes. And we're seeing it. We're going to take a break for your local news. More of your calls right after this. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. I love the name Wee Lollies. You won't forget that, will you? Thank you there, Mario. Thank you for the soup. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to eat
confidence,
soup.
Simplicity, and trust.
While Scott Wilkinson talks home theater.
I'd be happy to. Okay. Thank you so much.
Did I say everything right about Umphrey's McGee? I knew he didn't come running in. I thought he can't be here. Oh, okay. No, I just was saying they're the perfect example.
One thing is they are starting their own record label with the got a new release coming out.
That's awesome. It's going to be their own record label. But I mentioned the couch tour and the headphones in the audience and stuff. Go ahead, Scott. John's going to talk to me.
Hey, no problem. I just saw an item in here in the chat room from Waikiki Guru about how maybe this is the future of movies as well. Movies direct to home theaters and, commercial cinemas are going to go the way of the dodo bird, as they say. I suppose that might be an ultimate solution. I do think that movie theaters do offer an experience not yet available in home, other than people talking on their cell phones and kids kicking the back of your chair and stuff like that. That's what everybody talks about is the problem with going out to the movies. But you do have the opportunity to go see Dolby Atmos here, Dolby Atmos, which you can't hear at home at this point. And that's quite a nice audio experience that can't be duplicated at home. I don't know. What do you guys think in the chat room? There's just something about going out and having a social experience, having a communal experience with a bunch of people, as long as they're well-behaved, shall we say, let's assume that, okay, then and going out and having that experience, there's something to it. I mean, we're home so much. Well, I guess I'm home so much. I like going out to the movies because I work at home. But for other people who work out of the home, maybe staying in at the home theater is kind of better. But in any event, I still think that the commercial cinema does have something to offer over the home theater. Now, I ran a poll on AVS not too long ago about how often do you go out to the movies? And most of the, by far the strongest response was a few times a year to go see a blockbuster or something like that. For the most part, people on AVS Forum prefer to stay in their home theaters. And there are valid reasons for doing that as well. In particular, unless you go to a really well-maintained, and highly equipped theater, your home theater might, in fact, give you a better experience. Plus, you can pause when nature calls or go get a snack or whatever, and it's much more convenient in that way. I think there are pluses and minuses on both sides. I still like going out to the movies, and there are certain things you can get there as well. I like 3D in the commercial cinema, and not everybody likes 3D at all, but I like it in the commercial cinema because it's a huge screen, fills your field of view. You can do that at home too, but passive glasses at home are not that. I mean, they work better, I think, than active glasses, but they give you only half resolution in each eye. So on and so forth like that. User 181 says theaters are more immersive, and that I believe that's true. JC Calhoun goes to one or two a month. I go probably two or three times a month. But I go also because I'm interested in the technology. And when there's a new technology or something interesting like that, then I need to go and cover it. So as a journalist in this field, that's kind of what I do. Beatmaster says the danger of watching movies at home is the presence of many second screens to distract you. This is a very good point. Now, a lot of people in our industry, there are a lot of people saying, oh, the second screen experience, this is so important. I myself don't like doing the second screen experience where you have an iPad or a phone or something in front of you. Maybe you've got your Twitter feed up or your Facebook and you're communicating with people while you're watching the movie. That's distracting me from the movie. Now, this may be a generational thing as well. My niece, who is in her mid-20s now, can't just sit and watch a movie. She has to be doing something else at the same time. And she says, oh, I'm just multitasking. Well, I don't believe that humans can actually multitask. They can code switch relatively quickly from one thing to another, but I don't think you're getting as deep an experience when you do that. And I think the younger generation is missing something in that regard. M5, how often do I go to the movies with my wife? She almost never goes out to the movies. And the reason is they are too loud. They are simply too loud for her most of the time. So she chooses not to go because it's just uncomfortable, even with earplugs. I go and I take my earplugs and I measure the sound levels. By the way, Transcendence was very moderate in noise levels, which was great. I measured an average of something like 77.6 decibels, which is very, very easy to deal with. So I almost never go, she almost never goes to the movies. Occasionally we'll go to something that we know isn't going to be really loud. But more often than not, I'll go with my friend Tom Norton, who writes for, Sound and Vision magazine, soundandvision.com. Loquacious says, yeah, it's called attention span. Exactly right. I think the younger generation has a harder time. Has a shorter attention span, generally speaking. M5 second screen is great to do while commercials. Well, I rarely watch TV in real time. It's always buffered on my DVR, so I can skip past the commercials. That's the way I solve that problem. But you're right. If you're watching in real time and you come to a commercial, sure, go down and tweet something or put something on Facebook or whatever seems really fine. Where is my TARDIS? Winter Soldier was really loud. See, I expected that. I kind of expected Transcendence to be really loud, but it wasn't. But Winter Soldier, American, what's the guy's name? Captain America. Captain America, the Winter Soldier, I expected to be really loud. And in fact, Tom went to see that without me because I said, it's probably going to be too loud. Even with my earplugs, you know, I have a hard time with that, certainly. Linux Lurker, going to a bad movie with a hot date is the only theater experience I like to remember. Sure, if it's a bad movie, you can focus on your date. But that's a whole nother situation, shall we say. Real-time TV is only for HBO. Real-time with Bill Maher. That's actually, I like watching that show. And I don't have to DVR it either because there's no commercials. I'm paying for that in a different way than I'm paying with commercials. Anyway, see if anybody else has any questions for me before we come back to the radio show. We were talking earlier before my segment here about the difference between buying an AVR, an AV receiver, and buying separates, buying a separate power amp and a separate preamp processor. And somebody was asking if they should do one or the other. It's a good question. It's worthy of debate. An AVR is more.
You're going to have to answer that question next week.
Answer that question next week.
Just think of it that way. It's up for debate. Then, ladies and gentlemen, I want you all to write to Scott and explain why that cup and string is an analog, not a digital device. All right. We'll talk next week. Thanks, Scott.
Thanks a bunch.
Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy, Hour 2 of the Tech Guy radio program, in which we answer your questions about tech. We help you understand what's going on in this world. It really is changing before our eyes, thanks to digital technology, to the internet. The internet, I would think you could argue, is the single most life-changing invention, maybe since the fire, since the wheel. Fire, okay. I think fire's in there. I think internet's bigger than the wheel. Bigger certainly than steam power. Electricity, bigger than electricity? Well, you couldn't have it without electricity. So I guess in that sense. But it's the very fact you could debate this tells you it's a pretty significant change in how we communicate, how we learn, how we create. We were talking at the end of last hour, a guy with a band wants to get the word out about what he does. The internet is an incredibly empowering tool for any creative person or anybody who has something to say. Everybody can have a blog. Everybody can take photos and post them so others can see them and share them and comment on them. Maybe even sell them if you want. It is really transformed everything from work to education to communication, to play, to how we consider, what we consider social. You can have friends that you've never met. What? How could that be? But it's true. 8888 Ask Leo. That's what we talk about. And we can answer your questions about anything in that area. Bob is in Hermosa Beach, our next caller. Hi, Bob. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo.
Hey,
nice.
Bob.
Nice talking to you. I've listened to you on your podcast forever.
Thank you.
Hey, I have a question. I have an LG phone that I want to unlock, and I like doing things myself. I've looked on the internet, and there's plenty of websites that allow you to unlock a phone.
Yeah, I'd be a little careful about those. They all charge a couple of bucks, and then they give you a code. Let me know what carrier you have.
Right now it's Metro PCS.
Okay. So the first thing to do is to go to the carrier and say, will you unlock this?
Okay.
A lot of carriers will. AT&T, if you've had the phone for 6 months or more, you're in good standing, will just unlock it for you.
Yeah, okay.
Metro PCS, I don't know what their policies are, but I would call and ask. It certainly couldn't hurt. Can I unlock this phone? And you could say, now, Metro PCS is, I think a SIM-based. They're CDMA-based. They're not SIM-based. They're CDMA.
No, there's a SIM card.
There is a SIM.
Yeah.
Then you all you say is, I want to travel overseas.
Yeah.
You don't have to lie. You could, but if you could, this is a good reason for unlocking. And I want to buy a SIM when I get there so I can use the local phone system, you know, at local costs. That's a very good reason for unlocking. What the reason they lock, what locking means is a carrier takes a phone and they do some magic to it so that you can't use it with another carrier. You buy it from AT&T, and it's because AT&T subsidizes it. You only paid, you know, a couple hundred bucks for a $600 phone.
Yeah.
And so they say, but, you know, that's, we'll do the deal, but A, you got to be a customer for 2 years to pay it back, and B, you can't take that phone anywhere else. You can't bring it across the street to T-Mobile because we'll lose you as a customer. Now, unlocking is not illegal. It is legal to, you own the phone. The Librarian of Congress, who rules on these kinds of things, has said, no, it is not illegal to unlock a phone. You have the right to do that. Mm-hmm. But it's easiest to do it if the carrier does it for you, because they'll do it right. So I would first ask Metro PCS.
Okay.
Some phones are actually unlocked out of the box. For instance, and I don't know if this is commonly known, but the Verizon iPhone, the 5S, the SIM card slot's unlocked.
Is there a way I can tell that by looking at the phone?
You could just take... Well, you can't tell by looking at it, but you could take another SIM card and put it in there. Borrow a friend's SIM card, see what happens.
Okay, okay.
It has to be the right size, and unfortunately now there are four different sizes. There's standard size, there's micro SIMs, there's nano SIMs. And so they're all really the same thing. It's just how much paper is around it. You can actually buy a SIM cutter that'll cut it down, but... it'd be easiest to go to Metro and see if they'll do it. Now, there are, you can do it online. You know, those places, I think, you know, it always makes me nervous to make a transaction on the web. You give them, what are they asking, $15, $10?
Yeah, you know, I haven't gone that far because I'm concerned about getting a virus if I go on one of their websites. So, you know, because there's just a bunch of them out
there. Well, it makes me nervous, exactly. And I'm not so much worried about a virus as they'll just take your money and say, here's your magic number. You can you go to eBay, you can buy these unlocking codes and so forth. Mm. Better than that is to, the other thing to do is if you can find an independent cell phone store. I guess they're getting fewer and fewer. Not the Metro PCS official store. I'd take it there first. But then go to an independent cell phone store and say, hey, I'd like to unlock this. Can you help me? Because they can do it. They know how to do it.
Yeah, I've done that. I've gone that route before. It cost me a few bucks. And I thought, well, let me see.
But you know where they are. They're not, they're not going to rip you off.
Right.
And the reason they have some skin in the game, they'd love to make you a customer. Because if you... you know, unlock it and then use that phone with them to get a new cell service, they get a cut of that. So they have some skin in that game. They want you to do that. It really depends. Nowadays, I think because it's becoming clearer and clearer to the carriers that they can't continue these piratical ways.
Right.
You know, they really, I mean, what other business in the world can you think of that you have to pay them to stop doing business with them? The $175 early term, or more in some cases, early termination fee. And they say, but this is because we paid for the phone for you. But yeah, but really, didn't you get that money back pretty darn quick? And in some cases, you know, they've had you for 8 years as a customer. And come on.
Yeah, I'm on a month-to-month contract. I bought the phone outright when I got it.
But then they should unlock it. They have no reason to have it be locked.
Yeah.
You paid for that phone full freight.
Yep.
It might not be locked, frankly. And in future, if you're ever going to pay full freight, if you don't want a subsidized phone, go somewhere else and get it unlocked. Because, you know, I mean, I always buy them unlocked because I'm at this point, I buy phones far too often to ever get a subsidy from anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not going to get a subsidy, there's no reason to give them that locking thing.
Okay. I guess I'm going to the Metro PCS store and see.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure they'll unlock it for you, especially since you tell me that it was unsubsidized.
Right.
They have no standing whatsoever not to. Right. It's my phone. Unlock the dang thing. It may not even be locked. I don't know what their policies are. Somebody in the chat room says after 3 months they unlock it. I think more and more that's the case, that phone companies realize, thank goodness the Sprint T-Mobile merger, what was it, the AT&T T-Mobile merger didn't go through. thank goodness we have four big and many small cell phone carriers because the competition keeps them honest. Goodness knows the FCC and Congress aren't doing anything on that in that regard. So competition, that's always the best way to keep somebody honest. I can walk across the street. If you can walk across the street, then they're going to treat you better than if you're locked in. And yeah, if you have to, what you can always say is, I'm leaving. Thank you. It's been a nice relationship. Since you won't unlock my phone, I'm going across the street. And thank goodness we can. Unfortunately, that's what's wrong with internet access in this country. You don't have, there's in many places, there's no competition. There's literally one high-speed internet service provider. Most places, there's two, your phone company and your cable company. And that's why we pay more and get less than any other country, almost any other developed nation in the world, in the United States, because there's no competition. If we had, I dream of the day. I keep waiting for Google or somebody to get in the internet business. They keep threatening to. The day there's competition in the internet, you'll see the prices drop dramatically and the speeds go up dramatically, as they have in most other developed nations. 8888-ASK-LEO, 888-827-5536. We're talking tech. I'd love to do it with you. Give me a ring. More of your calls right after this. And the reason we're very active, and I thank my fabulous volunteer chat mods, and always support them on this. The reason we're very active to ban people in chat is because, as you probably experienced on any internet community, you have to weed vigorously or the weeds take over the garden, and then nobody wants to be there. So we are very aggressive about our chat rules. They're posted at the top of your chat screen at all times. Read them. It will spare you some problems. And you know, as a result, I think I'm very proud of our chat room. It's a great place to be. We are very appreciative. I was talking to Jill Duffy yesterday about how valuable the chat is as kind of an ad hoc focus group at all times. If we had third-party access on cable, I think we'd be in better shape. We do have third-party access on DSL. The problem is that the cell phone, the landline companies are used to being monopolies, and so they really are nasty to the independents. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 888-827-5536. That's the phone number, toll-free from anywhere in the U.S. of A or Canada. Our website, this is a good thing to keep in mind if you have to write anything down, is techguylabs.com. And the reason is everything I mention, all the links and so forth, are put up on the website, techguylabs.com. So is the phone number, link to the chat room. You can join us in our chat. We love that. It's always going throughout the, not only during the entire show, but 24/7. I'll go in there at 4 in the morning sometimes, can't sleep, wake up. There they are. They're there. They're chatting all the time. I love that. Just go to techguylabs.com. You can find out about our chat. It's IRC. It's the old school. Before the web, before the World Wide Web existed, there was IRC, Internet before Relay Facebook. Chat. Oh, yeah.
Before Twitter.
Before Mark Zuckerberg was born, I think.
Oh, my God, you're right.
IRC is older than Zuck, the Zuck. What do you think these days, Heather Hammond? I'm going to use you as a normal person. Mm. I see Mom left.
I don't get that a lot. They said bye.
Bye-bye, Mom. What do you think of Facebook these days? Are you still using it?
Less and less.
Mm-hmm. Zuck's not going to be happy about that. You're probably going to get a call at home.
But speaking of doing something in the middle of the night, I think when I am waking up in the middle of the night, I'm like, oh, I'll just read this because it'll bore me and put me back to sleep.
They've done a lot to change Facebook, especially on mobile. I don't know if you've noticed the new mobile, but one of the things they did that is, I'm surprised there hasn't been a hue and cry over this. When's the last time you used Facebook on your smartphone?
Not as an app, but I have heard other people
use
crying
the app.
Out. Yeah.
So what it does, and I saw it yesterday, you launch the Facebook app, and I saw this on Android. I don't know if they're doing it on the iPhone yet. They may not be. Apple's privacy restrictions may keep them from doing it. But they now say that you can turn this off, but it's on by default. Your location will be broadcast at all times to your friends, They'll know where you are, and similarly, you'll know where they am. They are. They am. They are. At all times, it's this new thing that you can see your friends, and they can see you, and they can see you're nearby, and you might get notifications saying, "Hey, Heather's, at this restaurant. Go over and say hi."
Ugh, can you imagine?
Does that bother you?
Oh God, yeah.
You can turn it off, obviously, right. But.
With all the men, you know, telling them one story.
Yeah, I think if you're, I don't want to be sexist, but I think for women particularly, this could be disastrous.
Oh, totally.
You know, because guys are rude, and they'll take advantage of this.
Yes.
Hey, Heather, how you doing?
And some of them are stalkers.
You're looking good, Heather.
So you might want to go into your Facebook. Again, I don't know what happens on the iPhone. You have an iPhone, right?
Yeah.
Go into your Facebook and just tell me if it notices, you know, and says, hey, just in case you didn't notice, you'll have to update it.
And then they're going to go, oh, yeah, and she had the creme brulee, you know, and then they're going to be like,
it's just a matter
you should
of
watch
time.
Your calories and, you know, it's too much.
It's very interesting. It's very interesting. I mean, Mark Zuckerberg has said very publicly he thinks life is better when you're connected. I think that's true in the real world. We know you live longer. You are healthier if you have friends, if you have a social circle. You know, men who have wives live longer than men who don't, mostly because the women say, get off your duff. Go out there and rake the yard. Do something. For whatever reason, I think it is really true. But I don't think that's what Mark's talking about when he thinks that Facebook is that your life is better because you have all these tenuous internet connections. Remember, we were talking right at the beginning of the hour how the internet's changed things. And you can, it's completely possible to have friends you have never met. Happens to me when I go to conferences all the time. I'll run into somebody that I've been following on Twitter or Facebook, and I know a lot about them. I really do. And it is nice when you do meet them because you have a connection. You could say, hey, I love, you know, that thing you did. I love what you wrote about, or, you know, hey, I'm a big fan of baked apples, too. That's really cool, or whatever. So I'm not against it, but I think Mark, and maybe because he's young, he just turned 30, maybe because he's young, he's a younger general. He's no longer the younger generation, is he? He's over 30 now. But maybe his generation and the generations after him are a little more comfortable with this idea of your friends know everywhere you are and what you're doing and all of that. I don't know. I worry that he may be moving too fast for regular people. And so that's why I ask you how you feel about Facebook. Would you do, you know, next time you get a chance, I know you're busy, you're working and all that stuff, but next time you get a chance, if you would just fire up, make sure you have the latest Facebook on your iPhone, fire it up, and let me know if you see that thing. I was kind of surprised. I should have done screenshots. I didn't think to.
Oh, right.
Of the new stuff. That it kind of feels like stalkery. Like your friends can use Facebook to stalk you now. 8888 Ask Leo. Is it?
It does say Tiff.
Okay. I'm looking. It looks like the name is Tiff. Tiff in Reading, PA. Hi, Tiff.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
I hear you great, Tiff. Welcome.
Because I'm on a Q0 free phone. You get 250 free minutes, and if I run out of minutes or my battery dies, which either one comes first, I have to say goodbye.
Well, ask your question now, okay?
Okay. I plug my cell phone in, and when the battery's fully charged, it'll beep. Now, does it hurt if you keep your cellular phone plugged in when your battery's fully charged, or does that do more harm than good?
It does more good than harm. How about that?
Okay, because I didn't know if it would make my NiCad battery explode
I hope you don't have an iCad. If you have a really old phone, you have NiCad, but nowadays they're all lithium ion. And
okay.
Yeah, and let me tell you about lithium ion. And there's a lot of misinformation. You go on the web and you search for how do I get the best battery life. You'll get a lot of misinformation, but this is the truth. Every lithium ion battery has a number of charging cycles that it can do. Typically, say 500. That means fully charged, fully discharged 500 times. If you charge it up halfway, that's half of one unit. So if you have it fully charged and it doesn't discharge because it's plugged in, It doesn't count against you. So you're using up your battery. If you unplug it, let it dry down and bring it back again. That's using up one of the cycles. Keeping it plugged in improves the lifetime of your battery. Every expert who knows what they're talking about says it's okay to keep it. It's best to keep it plugged in. If you want to store it for a long time, it's best to keep it half charged. Not fully charged, not fully discharged, but half charged. All lithium ion batteries, modern ones, have circuitry to prevent them from overcharging. Now, you're right to worry about overcharging, because if it didn't have that circuitry, the lithium ion battery would either explode or burst into flame.
Yeah.
Overcharging lithium ion batteries is dangerous, but because it is, they all have circuitry to prevent that. And it is very rare indeed that that circuitry fails. Every once in a while, you hear a story about somebody whose cell phone caught on fire in his pants. One of our producers here has a MacBook about 3 years old. It was plugged in. The battery swelled and expanded and broke the case on the laptop. But that's very rare. These are very safe technologies. Keep it plugged in. That's the best thing you can do. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. I know, the writer is saying, you know how many times I've been told not to plug it in? Well, they're wrong. And that's what I mean. There's a lot of, I don't know why there's so much misinformation. Some of it comes from earlier battery technologies. Nickel cadmium, for instance, had the memory effect, right? But that's not a problem. It's not been a problem since nickel metal hydride. But lithium batteries, keep them plugged in. And that's the way to do it. Well, he's built to fly anyway. Johnny Jett, our travel guru. He is here as he is often on Saturday afternoons to tell us how. Where are you? Are you at home?
No, you're in Toronto. Look for you.
Wait a minute. Oh, let's get a close up look here. What are you wearing there? Does it say Toronto on it?
It says Canada.
Canada. I thought you were in Ananda.
My sister-in-law bought it for me.
Oh, how nice.
So yeah, I'm in Toronto. It's a beautiful day. I was actually doing some TV here this week. I was doing their version of The View.
Oh, fun.
And I ran into Amber Mack in the green room.
Yeah, she just did it too. She was doing like Easter baskets, right?
You know what? She was actually on a different show.
Oh.
But wow. So I don't know what she was doing.
Yeah, she had a little project.
We had lunch. We were able to have lunch.
She was showing how to Pinterest your Easter creations, I think, is what she was doing.
Talking about Pinterest, my wife is crazy on Pinterest. She has 18,000 followers. I just looked. She was getting 1,000 followers a day for the last week.
How is that? Is she famous?
Her handle, she's really good. Her handle's Natalie DeScala.
And what is she?
She has a really good eye. I mean, she works for a style magazine. She's the online editor for a big style at home magazine. And she's good. I mean, the woman's good.
The woman's good. What can I say?
She really is. Natalie DeScala. DeScala.
All right. I'm going to. I see her.
My real last name.
This is her, right?
Yeah, that's her.
That's her. Senior web editor at Style at Home. That's why. She's got good style.
She does.
I'm going to follow her. Look at that. She's got all sorts of really interesting stuff. No wonder she has so many followers. So you don't do Pinterest, huh?
I do, but not as much, not like her. She sits there, and we're in bed, and she's sitting there pinning things.
And I'm going to sound a little bit sexist here. It seems like something the gals like more than the guys. And not all the gals, but some of the...
I think it's 90% of users are female.
Wow. You know what's funny?
Don't quote me on that.
You know what's funny? 95% of the listeners to my podcast network are male. So if we just got Pinterest together with Twit, we'd be balanced.
Right.
So Johnny is a world traveler. He's all over the place. He was just in Lago di Garda in Italy. And then last week. And then before that in Paris. Now he's in Toronto, makes his home in Los Angeles. He just gets around.
I'm living large.
You're living the dream.
I was listening to you and Heather the Phone Ranger about this last Facebook app.
Yeah, Facebook's now following you around.
Well, I got an app for you guys.
Yeah?
It's called Cloak, C-L-O-A-K. Have you heard of this one?
No.
So this one is for you to go incognito.
It's called the anti-social media app, they say.
So if you... don't want to run into your friends or anyone you know,
yeah.
you use this app, and it will tell you where they are when they checked in. Right now, they're only using, I think, Foursquare and Instagram, but they're going to use Facebook soon for their check-ins. But I thought this was...
So wait a minute. So you know where they are, but they don't know where you are?
Yeah, that way you can avoid them.
Can I put Scoble on this? That's awesome! No, I'm just teasing. Robert Scoble, who is well-known to many people as a social media maven, once tracked me down at a restaurant. I said, "What are you?" He said, "I said, Robert, what are you doing here?" He said, "I followed you on Foursquare, and you checked in." And I thought, "That's boy, now I'm in trouble." But I don't mind. I went to Buenos Aires. I think these apps are great if you're a traveler. I went to Buenos Aires, and I tweeted, "I'm in Buenos Aires. I'm in Argentina. First time. I don't know where to go, what to do. Let me know." And a bunch of people tweeted me. I then said, "Look, okay, I'm going to go. You recommended this restaurant. I'm going to go there. And anybody who wants to meet me?" 8 people showed up. We had a lovely dinner. I made friends. That's awesome. So
I use Twitter and social media all the time for that stuff.
It really, that is kind of a wonderful way, if you're alone and traveling, to meet people. I really, it was a fabulous experience.
Without a doubt. So yeah. I got a few more things to run through before our time runs out.
Okay, so Incognito, it is on the App Store. It looks like it's iPhone only. It is free.
It is only iPhone right now.
It is free.
Okay, so this week we talked about Uber a couple of weeks ago.
It's called Cloak, not Incognito.
Cloak. Exactly. Yeah. It's for
Incognito. Uber X. Yep.
So we talked about Uber, which is peer to peer car sharing, basically not car sharing. It's like a taxi.
Yeah.
Well, their competitor is Lyft, L-Y-F-T.
Right. And you see in San Francisco, you see all these Lyft cars around. Mustaches. They have big pink mustaches on the front of the car.
So they have a deal right now for $50 off your very first time using it.
Wow.
So if you're in San Francisco and you want a free ride to the airport, download Lyft and use the code SLICKDEALS.
SLICKDEALS. That's a free ride to the airport right there.
It is. It's up to $50 for your first ride.
Wow.
So I think that's very important for people to know. Also, this week, starting Monday, Alaska Airlines is going to start offering self-service baggage tag. You have to print your bag tag at home on a couple of routes. So actually from Seattle to San Diego and Anchorage to Juneau.
Okay, wait, let me get this straight. You print your baggage tag at home, you put it on your bag, and then what?
And then you go to the airport, and they'll give you a...
There's like a drop-off?
They'll give you a special tag holder. You stick it in, and then you just go up to the self-tag express check-in desk and just drop your bag.
Wow.
So that's the future, by the way. And actually, Alaska Airlines, I don't know if you know this, but they were supposedly the first U.S. airline to sell tickets online. They were also the first ones to allow you to check in online and print your boarding passes.
Wow.
But they're not the only one, by the way. So Lufthansa this week is actually launching their self-service bag tag.
What? And pretty soon there won't even be anybody flying the plane. You just get self-service flight. You'll get on, they'll say, "This way to the cockpit. Good luck." Or I'm waiting for a plane with a giant pink mustache on the front to come to my house. Drive me.
Actually, it's not this week. They've already been doing it, but it's Frankfurt to Tokyo.
This saves them money, right? This saves them money because they have to have...
Saves them money. Yeah. But, if you print your own boarding tag, you have no one else to blame if you lose your baggage.
Well, how often do you lose your baggage because somebody put the wrong tag on? Never.
Well, that is one of my tips. Whenever you do check a bag,
always
make sure the three-letter code is the right one where you're going. I've actually seen them put the wrong one on because people are all checking in.
I guess there's a bunch of people.
The gate agents just grab a tag and they throw it on.
Oh, so you're right. Okay. Now, when you print this, though, it's going to be just some junky paper. Isn't it just going to get torn?
No. Well, they have a special baggage holder.
You get a tag for it.
Yep, and actually the ones you can do for Alaska Air, I think it's Lufthansa, you can request it. Actually, sorry, I'm looking at my notes. Air France and KLM are also coming out with something similar.
So you have to get the thing up, the tag holder ahead of time, or can you get that at the airport?
You can get them at the airport, but some of them, I think Air France will also mail you one.
So I'm kind of liking this, because one of the things that slows me down is waiting in line to check my bags. But I presume I'll still have to kind of wait in line, because doesn't somebody have to say, "Did you pack this bag yourself? Do you know what the contents are?"
They don't do that anymore.
They don't do that anymore?
No, they do it in foreign countries. But they
You know what? has the last 13 years been a charade? All of a sudden now, I went to the airport the other day, and they said, hey, would you like to try out our new, what do they call that thing?
TSA PreCheck.
TSA PreCheck. Come on.
Yeah.
Just come over here. You don't have to take off your shoes. You don't have to empty your breath. You can just go, just walk on in.
I've had a problem with that.
Randomly.
Because I'm a member of TSA PreCheck.
You don't need to be a member.
All of a sudden, I notice these lines are longer than the regular security line.
Yeah, because they're pulling
and the people
over.
In it have no idea what they're doing.
It was me and Mario, who's 16. Actually, I think Mario was pre, and he says, well, since you're pre, you could be pre, too. Because it's printed on your ticket randomly, and then we just waltz in.
What? That's a problem.
I think the last 13 years have just been a charade. Or a charade. JohnnyJet.com, at JohnnyJet on the Twitter. We'll see you next week. Thanks, Johnny. Right. Safe travels.
Thank you.
I got to show you this, Johnny. So.
By the way, it is Alaska Airlines.
Alaska.
Alaska, they will send you the tag, or you can pick it up at the airport.
Okay. This is Pathé, which is a British newsreel company, has put, I think they put like tens of thousands of their old newsreels online. And Harry McCracken, the technologizer, found this one. You'll love this.
In the new and changing world of jet travel, the speed in getting there will be matched by unprecedented speed and accuracy in flight bookings. A worldwide electronic reservations and communication system will link 114 cities on 6 continents with a data processing center located in the new Pan American building under construction in New York City. In the uncompleted fourth floor room where the computer system will be installed, Pan Am President Juan T. Tripp and Thomas J. Watson Jr., board chairman of IBM, signed the contract for the multi-million-dollar installation. Airline personnel almost anywhere in the free world will maintain two-way contact with powerful twin computers which retain necessary information on magnetic disk files. At telegraph speed, the electronic clearinghouse will book and confirm seats on flights, provide reservation for air cargo, and handle other specific requirements. Service for the traveling public to the globe-girdling tempo of the jet age.
The globe-girdling tempo of the jet age.
What year was that?
Let me see if it says.
I remember
1962.
Because that Pan Am building.
Yeah, it was iconic at the end of Fifth Avenue there.
Oh, for sure.
Over because
Grand Central is right below it.
Yeah, it goes right underneath.
You could see the Grand Central Terminal.
Yeah.
Which I might be this week actually.
And
I'll
then
be there
Pan Am
week.
Went out of business.
It's a shame.
That's because they spent money on electronic calculating devices instead of stewardess.
Good. You are good.
These are so good, these old ones. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888, ask Leo. I was playing for Johnny Jet an amazing video from YouTube. The British newsreel company, Pathé, just this weekend put up 81,000 newsreels from the 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s. I'm watching right now, and Heather's really watching, a 1969 video of Arnold Schwarzenegger in the British, the European He-Man competition. Arnold Schwarzenegger wins Mr. Universe in 1969. I was talking about YouTube. Amazing! Amazing! These 81,000, these are funny, historic, fascinating videos from our past. And the fact that these are preserved is wonderful. I was showing Johnny Jet one talking about how Pan Am in 1962 installed the very first automated ticketing system. I don't know how they did it before then. I guess pneumatic tubes. I don't know. Handwriting. I don't know what they did. And they showed Thomas Watson Jr., the chairman of the board of IBM, signing the contract to provide millions of dollars to computers. Two computers. one in the fourth floor of the Pan Am building in New York. And they don't say where the other one is. And that all the reservations will be stored upon magnetic disks here in the it's amazing. If you haven't, if you want to waste about 80 hours, unbelievable stuff. And it's just from the Hindenburg disaster, incredible. What a record of our history. And thank you, Pathé. You know, they're going to make money on this. They've got ads on it. They're probably going to... I mean, it's been sitting in a vault. I don't know how they digitized it so fast. I would bet you YouTube had a little bit to do with this. And I hope YouTube continues to do things like this. Imagine if they went to the vaults of NBC. And it doesn't have to all be a video. They could bring back old radio shows, just put a picture up. Just incredible. Incredible. Thank you, YouTube and Pathé, for doing that. And it's all free. We live in an amazing time, I really think. All right, I'm going to stop waxing and start waning. Here's Paul in San Diego, California, our next caller. Hi, Paul.
Hi.
Hey.
My question is, my cable bills keep going up for the set-top box.
Oh, yeah.
I was wondering, is there...
I don't think they're going down anytime soon. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Is there a way of replacing that set-top box with something else that
yeah.
I don't have to pay the cable company?
You always have to pay the cable company, but you can cord cut, and then you don't have cable anymore. And what you'll lose mostly, primarily, you may even be able to make this part up, is your local television stations.
No, I keep the cable. I just want to know, can I replace the set-top box?
Oh, I see what you're saying. You're going to still pay the cable company. You understand that, the monthly fee.
Oh, yeah.
But you don't pay rental for the cable box, which can be as much as $10 a month.
How about 18?
18. That's outrageous.
Yeah.
Well, I just bought a TiVo. And TiVo will do this. There's two companies that are making replacement set-top boxes. What you're looking for, and first you got to check with your cable company, make sure they support it. They're supposed to, but sometimes they're not as cooperative as I would like. You're looking for something that supports cable card. Cable mm-hmm. card was created by the cable companies to let you do your own set-top box, whether it's a computer, a TiVo, something else. You put the card in. The card is a smart card. It's a little PC card. You might remember those from the old days of computers. And all it really does is say, yes, this is Paul, and Paul subscribes, and he's paid for these channels, so allow him to see these channels. It's a way of giving the cable company information to a device you buy. Now, so I bought a TiVo. There's also a company called Channel Master that makes these. And there are companies that make video cards for your computer. So you'll need to, first of all, verify with your cable company that you can do that. You will also want to check the TiVo site. TiVo doesn't work with AT&T's U-verse, but it does work with digital cable in most areas and with Verizon Fios. So you're going to get the cable card. I went down to the cable store. I find that's the best way to get stuff out of the cable companies, to have a face-to-face interaction with a human. My cable company is the worst company in America, Comcast. But if you go to the store, they're actually pretty nice. So I went down to the store. I said, I need an M card. That's the kind of card it uses. He said, yes, fine. And I brought in my old cable box, took that off the bill. Now, there is a downside to TiVo. Not so much with Channel Master, but with TiVo, you have to pay a subscription fee to TiVo for the channel guide. So that's kind of a bummer. Channel Master does not do that. And I'm not sure where they get their cable guide. But you don't have to pay a monthly fee. So the one of the big differences with Channel Master is you provide your own hard drive. TiVo has built-in hard drives. If you don't want to pay a subscription fee, and that's the whole point of this exercise, you still want a DVR, you still want the cable guide, you still want, you know, program information, I would look at a Channel Master. I've never used one, but there are folks in the chat room say it's good. Check with your local cable company first to make sure it's compatible.
Okay.
All right. Channelmaster.com.
Have time for a second question?
Sure.
I helped do a website for a lady who is doing video casts.
Awesome.
And she moves about, and she uses an iPhone for the video, but she needs a better microphone. She needs a microphone that's wireless and would work with her iPhone.
Wireless is going to... Don't tell her to give up on the wireless.
She has to move about. She's like
a long wire. The problem with wireless is very expensive to do well because interference is a big issue. And, I mean, we use wireless mics here in the studio, and we had to spend, I think, $600 for the base station alone. It's very expensive. We're talking probably, you know, a minimum of $600, maybe $1,000 to get a good wireless lapel mic. So, but how, yeah, I mean, I understand she's a teacher, she's going back and forth, but she can't get out of the range of the iPhone. I wouldn't be able to see her, right? Is there somebody holding the iPhone?
She props that up on something, and...
So she's not moving that much. She can't, I mean...
Well,
she's moving
around a student who she's demonstrating on.
Ah.
On posture.
So she's doing posture. Oh, yeah, right. Well, wireless wouldn't be the end of the world. The other way you could go is with a mic. Depends how much... How far away from the eye? She's not very far away, probably. She's 5 feet away.
Right.
The iPhone mic's going to pick up a lot of room noise. It's not very echoey. You know, we're out back.
That's the reason. Then trains go by, too, occasionally.
Can't help you with that. I don't think any microphone's not going to pick up a train.
Okay.
But there are microphone systems that are directional, shotgun mics. If she's moving around, that may be less good. But any external mic is probably going to help. I use the Apogee iMic. What iPhone does she have? Is it a newer one or an older one?
That's an older one.
So it has a 30-pin connector?
I believe so.
So she's going to have to get one with an iMic with a 30-pin connector. Now, it's not cheap. It's $200. But for one thing, it can be moved off the iPhone. So she can put the iMic on a stand on the desk. So it's going to be closer to her.
Okay.
And it does have excellent sound. And what's unique about the, it's not the iMic, it's just M-I-C, but it's from Apogee, A-P-O-G-E-E digital.com. I'll put this in the show notes. But one of the things about the mic is the quality is very good. It's a condenser mic. You can get fairly distant from it. I've actually used it in a pinch to record radio commercials in my closet on my laptop. It has a USB connector, but it also has the 30-pin connector. And it's the only one I know of that will record digitally to both an iPhone or an iPad. That requires some special capabilities. They do offer Lightning as well as 30-pin, so you're just going to want to make sure you get a connector that's right for the device she's using. This is the best choice out there, I think. And you might say $200, but a good mic, that's $200 is a good price for a good mic.
That I think she's willing to do. It's the 600 that's the issue.
Yeah, you don't want to go everybody says wireless because, you know, that's what you see in professional broadcasting. It does seem convenient. But believe me, having worked in professional broadcasting for 30 years, that is a pile of hurt. There's all sorts of trouble with, you probably saw Spinal Tap. Remember, they had the wireless guitars, and all of a sudden they're picking up air traffic control on his guitar solo. That's what happens. Radio interference can be a nightmare with these things.
I don't think she has that. So she was looking at an Audio Technica. I think
Audio Technica is very good. But you have to remember, you have to buy a bass unit. You have to buy the microphone, a little pack that goes on the backpack. It gets very expensive fast. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Bluetooth's a bad idea. All the Bluetooth headset mics use the Bluetooth headset interface, which is a very low-quality interface.
But all Bluetooth mics will sound like this.
They're not good quality. So do not use a Bluetooth. Remember, Bluetooth mic is designed for a phone, not for high-quality audio. They sound awful. Hey, our show today brought to you by our phone system. Well, that's weird. Well, sometimes a phone system is so good that it's worth talking about, and that's what I say about Ring Central. When we moved into the studios, it's funny, I was listening to the story of... I was listening to Dogfight, the Google versus Apple battle, and who was it? I think it was Google when they built their new headquarters. Larry Page did not want to put phones on the desk. It seems old-fashioned, right? He said, I don't need to put phones on the desk. Until he was told that he had to. Fire laws required it. Of course, if you think about it, you have to be able to make an emergency call. You have to have phones in a business. I was just like Larry. I thought, when we built this studio, I don't want to put phones. Let them use their cell phones. Why should I pay for it? Well, we found out kind of a great solution. First of all, very affordable, and they can still use their cell phones if they want, but they've got phones on their desk. It qualifies for fire regulations. It's called Ring Central. Ring Central. It's a cloud-based phone system. There's no PBX in the basement. It's not landline-based, but it is. It's cloud-based, but it is so good. And one of the advantages of using a cloud-based phone system is they can constantly improve it. They upgrade it all the time. We've been really happy. As little as $25 a month per user. They have, you know, so many great features. You use your smartphone to make calls at home from the company number. We pay for the call. You can get faxes and text messages on our 800 number. Then go right to your phone. You get your voicemails and your email. There's a directory when people call the front desk. The auto receptionist, I love that. I mean, I can go on and on. If you're on a call and another call comes in, you can dictate type out a text message to the caller that will then be turned into voice. Leo is on the other line. He'll be with you in a moment. I can just go on and on. And now they've added meetings, which is amazing. I see Lyft uses them. So what is meetings? Well, it's what it sounds like. As part of Ring Central, you get multi-point HD video calls anytime, anywhere, with anybody. You can share desktops. You can see each other. I mean, now Ring Central is Android and iOS apps. Now Ring Central is just like the ultimate business app. As little as $25 a month per user. You can start right now with a 30-day risk-free trial. And for our listeners, a very special offer. When you buy one desk phone, you'll get a second phone free up to a total of 20 phones. That's a great savings. We've got a number just for our listeners on the Tech Guy. It's 800-543-9980, 800-543-9980. Or you can go to ringcentral.com and use our offer code TWIT. 800-543-9980, ringcentral.com, promo code TWIT. We just love this system. It works so well for us. It will for you, too. It's the future today. Ring Central. Well, hey, hey, hey. How are you today? Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy. Time to talk about technology, you know, computers, the internet. Smartphones, home theater, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. 8888-ASK-LEO is the number. 888-827-5536. You can call that number anywhere for free in the U.S. or Canada, because we are, you know, nationwide. But if you're not in the U.S. or Canada, Skype us, and that'll work the same, and it won't cost you anything, because it is a toll-free number. We also are on the web at techguylabs.com. Everything that I mentioned, all the links, everything, all at the website, techguylabs.com. This is episode 1075. You can also go question by question, see my answers. There's audio and video on most of the shows. This show, too, after the, you know, it takes us a little time to get that on. Thanks to YouTube to get that on there. But it's all there at techguylabs.com. So keep that to hand if you ever have any questions, or you say, what did Leo mention something? Should be able to find it all there. And your comments, by the way, are more than welcome. If you're one of those people, I know they're out there because I can hear it. I can feel the energy, who's yelling, Leo, you're wrong. There's a better way. That's great. I want to hear it. Put it in the comments at techguylabs.com. The idea is, you know, it's always free. No subscription fee. Always open and available. And the idea is this was more and more valuable the more information people add to it. So please do help out and leave your comments. We welcome those. Even if it's, Leo, you're wrong! Pam is on the line, our next caller from Hollywood, California. Hi, Pam. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Well, I feel like I've been on hold for so long that I should be pulling out my rotary phone.
I'm so sorry. Well, I apologize because I'm such a gabby fella. But let me give you some time to make up for it. What can I do for you?
I have to get a new phone, and I'm really scared of these, like, smartphones. Yeah. I don't like the apps. I don't like the Facebook, your face, my face, your space.
Well, you don't have to put any of that stuff on there. You know that, right?
Well,
that's completely voluntary. No requirement that you participate.
But it's also doesn't have one of those things. It's like on the computer, read this thing before you push yes.
Yeah, you're going to have, nowadays software, and there's always the license. But just, do like the rest of us do. Just go, yeah, whatever.
So I want to know, what is the best, easiest smartphone to get? I used to have, in the flip phone days,
yeah.
I had a Samsung, and yeah. I loved it. And you know what? I still have it, I can plug it in. It still has information on it.
You could still get a phone like that. There's plenty of them out there.
I don't want that, though.
You're ready to go to a smartphone. I mean, there are advantages. Even if you don't do FaceGram and Instabook, there are smart, phone things you could do, like having a map that's always up to date, and you never, nobody gets lost anymore. Do you know
yeah,
that?
But I heard the whole stalker thing. I don't like that.
You don't have to turn it on. That's don't install Facebook.
I don't have it.
You don't have it, you don't need it, and you won't get it. So that's not a problem. It's completely optional. So, but the map is huge. It's really great. You never get lost again. You get I was wandering around in a strange town. I had no idea where I was. I said, "Get me back to my hotel." It gave me directions: turn left, turn right, go 100 feet. There you are. That is great. Never get lost again. Your contacts can all be synchronized with the internet. Now, for that, you have to create a Google account, but that's okay.
I have one.
Yeah, well, you already got one. Your contacts will get synchronized there, so you'll never lose a contact. If you change a contact on your computer or on your on the internet, it changes on your phone automatically. You can add pictures to your contacts. So when somebody in your family calls, you'll see a smiling face. That's that's nice.
Is it?
Well, I like it. I mean, if it's a stranger, maybe not. But if it's your family members, yeah. Let's see what else.
I'm with Verizon, and I wanted what is the
simplest, most straightforward.
I heard it was either Motorola or the Samsung Galaxy.
I'm not a fan of the Galaxies, especially for somebody who's getting their first phone. That is probably not a good idea. And I am convinced now, and I mentioned this at the beginning of the show, the only reason the Samsung Galaxies sell as well as they do is they spend so much money on advertising that people just think that's the only choice. It is not a good choice for most people.
No, I mean the older ones.
Yeah, you like Samsung, and that's fine. In fact, Samsung phones are good, but the smartphone's not so good.
Okay, what about the Motorola?
Let me just see if... I think the Moto X is a really good choice. If you don't like a phone that is helpful, you may not like it because it does things like you can talk to it.
Okay, no, I like that. I like that.
I love it. On the Moto X, I could say, now everybody, if you've got a Moto X, move it away from the radio. You could say, okay, Google Now, help me get home, and it'll tell you. So there are some nice features on the Moto X. I personally think that's, for most people, the perfect phone. It's the right size. It's not too big. It's not too small.
It's not one of those phone tabs.
It's not a phone tab. It's 4.7 inches, which is just right. It's a little bigger than the iPhone, but it's just the right size, I think. I'm very happy with it. It's a computer.
Right.
That's the difference. Your old phone was a phone.
Right.
This is a computer that can make calls. So that's of necessity, that's more complicated. You're going to get, license agreements. If you've already got a Google account, so that's great. The first thing you do when you get your phone home is you sign into your Google account. Okay. If you have contacts and calendar information on Google, it will automatically go right to your phone.
Okay.
That's nice.
Can they take my old phone? They can take my old phone and, put the information in.
If you go to the Verizon store, they'll transfer your contacts over. But then a nice thing will happen because they'll be on your phone. It'll now synchronize with your Google account, and it's backed up to the Google account. Now you have Google contacts. That's a nice thing.
Okay. But what do I do with the little chip that's in the old phone?
They'll take care of that.
Okay.
Yeah. You go to the Verizon store, say, I'm ready for a new phone. Leo said I should get a Moto X.
Moto.
And you know what's nice about Verizon? Actually, all the stores do this now. They'll give you a little tour. If they've got time, they'll give you a little tour.
Okay, great.
There's some nice features. Don't download Facebook. Don't put Facebook. You don't need Facebook.
I don't want
don't
it.
Put Twitter. You don't have to. That's nobody's going to make you do that.
I don't want to be stalked.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you. On the other hand, it's really nice to say, okay, Google Now, what's the weather going to be? You can literally say, is it going to rain today? And it'll say, oh, no, no, Pam, it's not going to rain in Hollywood today. It's great. I mean, I love that.
An actual voice?
Yeah. Yeah. It's okay. Great. I don't have mine in front of me, so I can't do it, but let me see if it'll do it on my HTC One. I think it might. Let's just launch the Google thing. Okay, Google. Is it going to rain today?
No, rain is not expected today in Petaluma. The forecast is 72 degrees and partly cloudy.
That's cool.
That's very cool.
Yeah. It's like okay. A little friend in your pocket.
I
know you don't want a friend in your pocket. I understand. You okay. Can say how's my baseball team doing? You can say, I mean, and then I think maps are something that is really really valuable. You can get your email on there. Do you use email?
Yeah, and I text.
All right, it's got a little bit of a camera, not a great camera, but a little bit of a camera. That's kind of handy.
Yeah, I take pictures and I do text.
Yeah. Texting, it's great for. It's much better for texting than are you doing like 999-3222-5555 to spell out your texts? No, it's not that old of a phone. You have a keyboard.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought you had a really old phone. Okay. Yeah, it's good for texting. I think, you know, you've got a browser on there, Google Chrome, which means you can, look up websites. I go to the movies. Sometimes I'll go, what else was this guy in? And, you know, you look online, and he could tell you. And then people throw their popcorn at you. It's fun. You can have a really annoying ringtone.
Okay, so just go into the store and just
say, hey, I want a Moto X. You know, while you're there, you could look at some of the others, but I think the Moto X is the right one for you. It sounds like a great little phone for you. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. I'm carrying the M8, but it's more expensive, and it is a better camera. I miss the touchless features a little bit, although I found a really good program called Agent that does a lot of the touchless features on this. So, like when I'm driving, it'll read me a text. This is a really nice feature of the Moto X, and Agent will do this. It knows I'm driving because it sees me moving. So when somebody sends me a text, it says, you just got a text. Would you like me to read it to you? I'll say, yes. Lisa texted, don't forget milk on your way home. Would you like to respond? Yes. On my way, I'll get the milk. You said, on my way, I'll get the milk. Is that correct? Yes. Would you like me to send that? Yes. Didn't touch anything. Completely all talking to my pocket. Things like that are very useful. Now, the battery on the Droid is very good. I wouldn't recommend the Droid X. I mean, the Moto X. Actually, the Droid Max is even better. It has a similar features. But I wouldn't recommend the Moto X if it didn't. But it has 15-hour battery life, as does the M8. The newer Droid Max, or is it the Ultra? One of the two Droids that they announced at the same time have most of the same always-on features as the at Moto X. But they have more Droid crap on them. Apple did not replace Jason's laptop. We're going to do a $300 repair, though, so I think that's a good deal. But I was surprised. I was very surprised. Oh, yes, so I got the new Mac Pro. There's an update for you. Works great. Gosh, it's so nice to get up in the morning and my computer hasn't reset itself overnight, to be actually able to use it without it suddenly crashing. And, you know, the last symptom it was having before, and I've packed it up and it's going to be sent back to Apple, was it just didn't see all the memory. It says you only have 12 gigs, and now it's socket 1 that's not responding, even though I never touched, so I don't know. It's not in good shape. It was bad, but the new one is beautiful. I'm so happy. Janet's in Manhattan Beach, California, our next caller. Hi, Janet.
Hi, Leo.
Welcome.
Thank you. I am getting ready to go on vacation next month and am looking for a camera, and I've been doing some research and have read and spoken to people and gotten great info on the Sony RX100 Mark
love it.
II.
Yeah, I have that camera.
It's nice and little and easy, but it's like $700.
Yeah.
So I'm debating and thinking, if I'm really only going to use it on vacation, is that way too much money? And is there anything decent for half?
Oh, yeah. It's right. Okay, so here's why the Sony's nice. It's a point and shoot like, right, you know, any other, like a $100 camera.
Mm-hmm.
The only really good thing about it is it does particularly well in low light, and that's because it has a bigger sensor than is typical in one of those.
Okay.
And it has a fast lens. So it is a good low light camera. And I bought it for that reason.
Okay.
But it isn't so much better than any of the other point and shoots that I would say it's worth $700.
Okay.
If you don't need, you know, super low light performance, then I wouldn't worry about it.
Okay, so do you have a suggestion for
something? I'm a big fan of the Canon, the PowerShots, the Elfs. And the reason I like them, especially for travel, is they're very compact.
That's what I want.
You push the off button, the lens retracts, and it is basically the deck of a size of a deck of cards.
Okay.
They start at $100. Now, you can go and get better, you know, depending on features and what you want. But, I mean, I'll give you an example. The Canon Elf 130, it's 16 megapixels. It has 8x zoom. That's a lot. It's wide-angle, 28mm, perfect. 720p video, high-def video. That's a great camera. You spend a little bit more, you can get optical image stabilization. You can get Wi-Fi enabled. That's $130. So these are very inexpensive. The top of the line, I think, is the S110.
Mm-hmm.
And that is only $200. And I think it's really a nice camera. It isn't, a pro might say, oh, you know, it's the chip is too small and it doesn't shoot raw, blah, 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 blah. You don't care about that.
No, I don't.
You don't. And that's why it's $700, by the way. They're going after the pro, you know, the pros camera. Who want a little one.
Yep.
I think the PowerShot 110, it's a $218 on Amazon that comes in black, blue, green, pink, red, or silver.
Oh, goody.
16 megapixels. It has optical image stabilization. That's very important. That that makes a big difference in the quality of your pictures. It shoots 1080p video. I think you want that as you travel. Not because you're going to whip it out and take a 30-minute, video of the fire of the Balinese fire ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
But what you will do, and I hope you will do, and I highly recommend it, is at the same time as you're shooting stills, every once in a while you take a 6-second clip.
Okay.
Because it gets you audio, it gets motion, and then when you come home and you make a slideshow, you mix in these video clips, it brings it all to life. It's a really great way to get a little bit more of the flavor of your adventure.
And
because this thing is so small, you have it in your pocket at all times, I think it's a great choice.
Okay, well, I'm really glad I called because I was very close to getting the other one and just couldn't justify spending the money.
If you go to dpreview.com, which is a great site, they love the Sony, and they should.
Yep.
It's a superlative camera. But it's more than you're looking for. You don't need to spend that much.
Okay, great. You just saved me a bundle.
Good. My pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Of course, that's the one I bought as a Sony. But I think that's a lot. There's a lot of stuff in there you don't need. And I think these Canon Elfs are just phenomenal because they're so pocketable that you barely know you've got it. 8888 Ask Leo. Josh is next in Atlanta, Georgia. Hi, Josh. Hello, Josh.
Hello, hold on.
Hey, welcome.
Hey. Thank you. So good to talk to you. So, I'm excited to get be able to talk to you.
Welcome.
I think I'm probably your biggest fan. I'm going to get heck in the back of the classroom, like you call it, about being a brown noser or whatever.
But oh, that's okay. Go ahead. I can take it.
It's all true.
It's all true.
I was listening to Chris Marquardt probably 5 years ago, just discovered podcasts, and he was adding your little segment to his feed there for a while, so I checked you out, and I said, well, this guy, he sounds so good. He sounds so professional. He can't be a real nerd, but in the
I'm a real nerd, baby.
after I got to listening to you, I knew that you really knew your stuff, and it's been really an inspiration to listen to your shows, and to be honest with you, you know, the, like I said, the inspiration of you getting out there and creating not only this show but the podcast was an inspiration to me. I'm a business guy that didn't make it and found creativity. We've actually met. This is Josh Johnson. Instagram,
Mr. Instagram. Yeah. Oh, it's good to talk to you, Josh. Well, I'm a big fan of yours. Josh does these. Well, do you still do your Instagram feed?
Oh, Leo, I'll tell you all about it. But I'm like I said, I'm a little bit worried about those guys in the classroom that they're going to start thinking I'm tooting my own horn. But,
no, I want you to toot your own horn because we've talked before, and I really like what
I'm
you
so,
do with
I'm
Instagram.
I'm so excited that you remember our conversation.
Yeah.
So yeah, so you, it was 3 or 4 days after the guys launched Instagram, and you and Sarah did a feature on it. I think it was Net at Night or something. I think maybe Sarah was filling in or something like that. And I said, I'm going to check this out. But I said, you know, 600 pixels by 600 pixels. You know, I thought it was
how could you
about
how could you use that? I mean, what would it be good
right.
for?
No, literally. I thought it was useless. But
you've been doing this since the very beginning. And I have to say, your pictures on Instagram, you've got more than 500,000 followers, are getting better and better. You are showing what you can do with this.
I mean, yeah, and there's more to it actually than even probably what you're seeing there right now is because those pictures are actually mostly not mine. Basically, what happened is if you remember,
you got a team now. I know.
Yeah, I started doing a little tip every day. Remember, and then that went good, but I found that reading content on Instagram, it just seemed like more. What people were there for was to connect. So I started using this following to highlight people that I thought were doing a really good job.
So now these are pictures that you've picked out, you've curated from your forum and so forth?
Check this out, Leo. Every day we do a new theme. I think today I just pick a new one every morning. Today is...
Kind of like Chris Marquardt does.
Exactly like Chris Marquardt.
Yeah.
Leo, every day we get up to 10,000 pictures submitted all around the world.
No wonder these are so good. So this is the creme de la creme.
Exactly.
I mean, these are amazing.
I got people that look through all the pictures.
We're out of time, but Josh, thank you. I'm glad you're doing such a great job. Did you have a question? Hang on. I'll get to that right after this. Yeah, Josh does such good stuff, and actually I haven't seen his stuff lately. But boy, and it just shows you what you could do on Instagram. Really great stuff. Let me log in. Oh, I changed my password. I should mention that if you're an Instagram user, you should change your password. We're going to get back to Josh and our calls in just a second, but I just want to have a little snack time. Where's my, hey, who stole my Nature Box? Hey, I love Nature Box. Have you seen us talk about this before? So Nature Box are snacks that are nutritionist approved, no high fructose corn syrup, no trans fats, all good stuff. And delicious, delivered right to your door. You can subscribe to Nature Box. They have three sizes of box, small, medium, and large. Well, small is 5 bags, large is 20 bags. You can get an assortment, or you can say, hey, I want gluten-free, or I want vegan, I want sweet, not spicy. I'd get an assortment for your first Nature Box just so you can see all the different kinds of stuff. We always love the assortments. Here's some of my Nature Box treats. Alex brought me a few. This one is flax fortune coin. So this has flax seed, which is good for you. No HFCs, no partially hydrogenated oils, artificial sweeteners, artificial flavors, artificial colors, zero trans fat, nutritionist approved. And I got to tell you, the reason I couldn't find a Nature Box, the staff loves these. They are, they're so good. So good. Why should snack time mean a trip to buy a candy bar in the snack machine that's been there for 15 months? Oh, no, you're going to want this because I know you like kind of the tart stuff. Lemon pucker pistachios. So, you know, to see the kids eating those sour candies, don't give them those lemon pucker pistachios. They'll develop a hankering for something that's good for them. Go to naturebox.com. I'll tell you, we got a special deal right now, naturebox.com/twit. You can take 50% off your first box, so jam it, you know, jam it in. Whole wheat figgy bars, delicious stuff. Naturebox.com/twit. Stay full, stay strong, and keep eating the Nature Box. Home snacks delivered to you. Yum. Yum. Here, let me give you the, I know you're going to want the lemon pucker pistachios. Let me give you the, isn't that just even the name? Sounds like something you want to eat.
It sure does.
I guess Josh, well, I'm still on the line with him. Did you have a question, Josh, or you just want to say hi?
Well, I wanted to say hi for sure, but also I wanted to just ask you if you had any thoughts lately on the whole concept of using social media as a platform for marketing.
Well, you're a great example, Josh. I don't know what you're, if you're marketing a business, but boy, you've got your name known. You've built a business in effect on Instagram.
Right, right. And so I guess the bottom line, Leo, and I guess probably I didn't expect you to have a specific answer for this question, but the first question would be like, how can I start to not have to worry about the rent from month to month? And but the,
yeah, well, that okay. Oh, that's a good question. You can always make money. You can always build a brand. You can always get a reputation. But paying the rent, that's tough.
Yeah.
That's tough. And that, a lot of times, you even see this in big companies like Facebook for a long time, Mark Zuckerberg said, we're not going to worry about making money. We're going to worry about building a business, building an audience, building users, and the money will follow. And that is true. But in the meantime, who pays the rent?
Yeah, I work the night shift from 7 o'clock at night till
Well, think of it this way: you are investing in yourself. I mean, it would be like asking the question, "Hey, I'm going to college. Who's going to pay me to go to college?" No, no one. You're investing in yourself to because in the end, this will benefit you. Now, I can't imagine that hashtag JJ doesn't have some real value now. You've really created a the most important thing, which is a community around you. That community will support you. So you have to figure out how to, what it is. So first thing to always start with is, what is it that I love? What is it that I am most passionate about that I want to do?
Yep. And you've said that often, and I've listened. And
you always start with that. And don't worry about if it's going to make money. Start with that.
Mm-hmm.
You've done that. Photography, you obviously, you love that. And then you found a platform, Instagram, and you created a community. How big do you think hashtag JJ community is?
I would say we probably have between 10 and 20,000 that really are in there and would be excited about talking about what we're doing.
You know, that's about right. That's about, because you have 588,000 followers, but that doesn't mean 588,000 highly engaged followers. My experience is it's more like 5% of the total.
Yeah.
Well, is like the said, actual
10,000 submissions. That's a hard number, you know.
There you go. That's a day.
You know, pictures per day for each different theme.
That's per day.
And so, yeah, and what's exciting about that is, you know, I can talk to companies and I can say, okay, I can market your, you know, I can connect.
But don't be too limited because here's the thing that people have to start doing is thinking of new models. A lot of times, and I did this, you know, how do we monetize the radio show? How do I make a living from the podcast? Very old-fashioned. I run advertisements. But it is by far the only way, far from being the only way. And nowadays, there are many newer ways. There's sites like Patreon, patreon.com. Kickstarter, we've mentioned before, Indiegogo. There are places you can go and you can say to your community, Patreon's a very good example. I like doing this. But I need to make a living. I don't have to pay the rent. I'm working the night shift. You need to help me pay the rent.
I've heard about it.
Yeah.
I've heard about it. Actually, I do. I just came up with a really good specific question for you, Leo, on this very thing. So, like I said, I think it's a really exciting thing. And the one thing is, like, what I was saying is I can get these people, I can market for them. I can put out ads to these 500,000 followers, right? But what I can also do is I can get these people that are following to market
to their followers. Does that make sense?
By that's called multi-level marketing, and that also is a well-known scheme.
So I feel like there's a lot to do there, but here's a just a real practical question. So I love, for example, say like the Mophie case or any product, you know. How do I contact the person that makes the decision to spend $10,000 on a week-long
That's a very good question. People generally who have ad dollars to spend on new media and digital media come from a particular part of the ad agency. So the query that you make is, who does your advertising? What agency does your advertising? Most people do not do it in-house, but if they do it in-house, they'll tell you. If they don't, they'll tell you the agency. And then you talk to the agency, say, who does your digital media planning? I don't care if it's Instagram, a web page, a podcast, it's all considered digital. So you're going to talk to the person who is the buying for digital media. Now, that's going to be a tough pitch because that person controls purse strings and is very, you know, as always approached, is very cautious. Their job rests on finding effective ways to spend that money. But the good news is, in my opinion, they're starting to realize that they need to be more creative, especially the digital guys. They need to be more creative in how they spend this money. And it may be something. Now, you also got it very important, Josh, to consider your audience. You don't, you know, if you start trying to sell them, you know, some multi-level marketing product, let's say, I want to sell you vitamins, you'll lose them quick. They're there because they love photography. It may not be advertising. It may be a donation. Maybe a donation from them to participate. Maybe you have a John Johnson app or Josh Johnson app. By the way, it's Josh Johnson on Instagram if you want to follow him. Maybe you have a 99-cent app and you sell 500,000 of those. That's $500,000. Maybe there are ways. You've got to be creative and out of the box at how you can monetize this. And you're looking for a way to do this that preserves your integrity with your audience. It's really important not to squeeze your audience for money. It has to be a mutually agreed upon. Your people are engaged with you because they love what you're doing. They love your content. They love what you're saying. They love how you put it out there, and they want to be part of that. I would even query them, ask them. But give them ways that they can support you for sure to start with. And really, and you know, we live in a world where I was talking about American Idol, and my goodness, you can't watch that show without being inundated. Even the judges are drinking from, you know, cups that say Coke. It's advertising everywhere on that show. And that's fine. I understand that they make a lot of money doing that. But it does feel a little bit to me like I'm being squeezed. I think we live in an era now where, first of all, you don't have to do that to make a living. And second, I think your audience is smarter than they used to be. The internet enabled consumer is a smart cookie. It's a new world. And I don't think people sit passively and let themselves be squeezed anymore. We are no longer the cows out in the field contentedly chewing our cud. We are bulls. We want, so don't, consider your audience and take care of them, protect them, honor them, because they're the engine that powers this. And but they want you to make a living. They don't want you to. I'm shocked and dismayed to hear you have to work the night shift. With a community of the size you have, you should be doing that full time. I look at my friend Trey Ratcliffe, also a photographer, who decided to become a photographer not so many years ago, 7 or 8 years ago. And created a brilliant community, makes a good living, a very good living, on his website, stuckincustoms.com. And he does it very subtly. He sells tutorials on how to do HDR photography. He sells prints. It's very subtle. It is not offensive. And it fits the aesthetic that he's promoting. And I think it works very well for him. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Tech Guy Show, as always, brought to you by our good buddies at Personal Capital. Have I mentioned Personal Capital to you? You've heard me talk about them before. I interviewed the founder, Bill Harris, on Triangulation almost 2 years ago now. Bill was former CEO of PayPal and Intuit. He really knew about money, and he kind of saw this opportunity to help people put their savings into perspective, make the most out of their savings. He founded Personal Capital a couple of years ago. I signed up right away. I joined it immediately because I loved the idea. You know, the problem with planning for the future is you've got accounts, you know, checking, savings, credit card, loans, investment, all over the place, different passwords, different websites. With Personal Capital, you put everything into the Personal Capital site, secure and safe, I promise. And then they give you these great dashboards that tell you exactly how your investments are performing, where your money is, how much you've got, what your net worth is. Then they tell you if you're spending too much on fees or to get it to manage it. They help you keep track of everything and help you then invest to build your wealth. And, you know, maybe it's not about getting wealthy. Maybe it's just about being able to retire and live comfortably. But if you don't start planning now, I can promise you it's not going to happen by itself. And this makes it so easy, and it's free. PersonalCapital.com/techguy is the website. You can watch your portfolio performance, your asset allocation. Your mobile apps are fantastic, so you can keep it on eye on the go. They'll give you an investment checkup, mutual fund fee calculator, analyze your 401k, and they'll help you balance your investments, make sure your investments are right for you. It's Personal Capital. It's a great idea, an idea whose time is coming. I want you to check it out right now. PersonalCapital.com/techguy. Absolutely no charge to do this. PersonalCapital.com/techguy. We really thank them for their support of the Tech Guy program. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. 8888 Ask Leo. That's the number. Last segment of the show. That means it's time to say hello to this guy over here. This guy over my left shoulder. Get away from me. Dickie D. Dick D. Bartolo. Mad Magazine's maddest writer and our gadget hound, the Giz Whiz. Hi, Dick.
How you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Yeah, well, you are into those games. Wow.
Oh, yeah. You saw me in the break. I was playing. Yeah, first, I was playing my Simpsons Tapped Out. It's back. Electronic Arts fixed it. That's not good news, Dick.
No. That's well, since I lost my Tetris cartridge to the Atari, I haven't played anything.
What you don't ever want to do is add up the number of hours you spent playing Tetris, Bejeweled, Simpsons.
No, all I have to do is add up Tetris because that's about the only game I've ever played.
Is that the most addictive game you've ever played?
Yeah, I just...
Never got into Candy Crush Saga, huh?
No.
Don't. That's a dangerous game to play. You're playing a dangerous... There's actually a book about the addictive nature of these games and how we have really, you know, somebody, not we, I don't mean we like me, but somebody's really figured out the psychology of this. I imagine the casinos were the first of sucking people in and getting them addicted. And now they're starting to apply these to these mobile apps. And games like Candy Crush are kind of massively addictive.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, there's something in the human brain, you know, these payoffs. It's like the slot machine payoffs. It's just there's something about it that just you have to space them out just right. You have to make it hard enough, but not too hard. And there's a way to just kind of get you into it.
Interesting.
Stay away from them, folks. But, Dick, you've got some great gadget, I'm sure, that we could...
I don't know if you've played with it yet. I've only had it 5 days. The Galaxy Gear Fit.
You know, I didn't get one. Did you get one?
Yeah, I did. And, you know, it's very funny. I never wanted a fitness watch. And then I got the Fitbit.
Yeah, which I love.
And the only thing I liked about it was I just like to know I had walked at least 5,000 steps a day.
Right.
And I would shoot for 10,000.
Right.
And then, you know, the thing with, first of all, the Fit was impossible to put on with a really stupid clasp. I mean, the first hour I walked out the door and I didn't have it. Unfortunately, it fell off in my house. And then the thing with the rashes and anyway, so I gave that up.
And the thing with the rashes and the thing.
Yes. Yeah. And I said, Dr. Mom said, no, I would recommend you don't wear it. So
well,
anyway,
it has nickel in it, and I guess that small percentage of the population is allergic to nickel. Yeah.
So the Gear Fit does have the pedometer feature.
This is the limit. Samsung's made a number of watches. They had the first Galaxy Gear last year, But this is the newest one, and this is the one that looks the most interesting. Kind of has a curvy, long display on it.
Exactly. Super AMOLED screen. You can pick different watch faces. You can have it read out vertically or horizontally.
This is the only one that was in the least bit interesting to me.
Yes, I like this one too. It doesn't do all the things that the Gear or the Gear 2 does, but it will still tell. It will still give you your text when they come in. It'll tell you have email, but you can't answer anything through the watch. You'll get the notifications. I think on the text you can send back a pre-written text.
It's kind of nice because instead of taking your phone out of your pocket, you can just look at your watch and it'll tell you who's calling.
Absolutely.
It'll show you the text that they sent.
Yeah. And you know, a little feature they didn't even mention, but since it communicates with your phone, I walked out of my office into my back apartment and suddenly the Fit is buzzing and it says, we cannot connect to your phone. And I realized I had left my phone on my desk.
Oh, that's kind of nice. You can't lose your phone.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Absolutely. There's also, if you do lose it, you just hit find my device and it'll blink the flash on your phone and sound an alarm on your phone. So there are a lot of little features that I like. The one thing I wish they had worked out better is it charges via micro USB, but not directly. There's a little thing that clips onto the back of the watch, and then the USB goes into that to charge it. But the stopwatch, the countdown timer, your choice of watch faces, and also you can read it in bright daylight. So I think this has a lot going for it. And you're right. It's more interesting, I think, than the Gear watch was.
Yeah. You do have to have, for it to work with the phone, a Galaxy phone, though, right?
Yes.
S4 or S5 or a tablet.
Yes. Most of the notes. Okay. And it says that they're working on making it a wider range of
well,
devices.
It'll all be Samsung, though. It won't work with anything not Samsung, I presume. Apple is going to supposedly do this too. I think the rumors are very credible that at some point, might not be this year, but at some point, Apple will release an iWatch of some kind.
I think that's not a bad idea.
I think that's a lot of companies are saying, "Quick, get yours out now."
Yes, yes.
Before Apple does theirs, because I think there's the feeling, rightly or wrongly, I suspect wrongly, that whatever Apple does will be like the iPhone. It will reinvent the category. And then everybody will have to play catch up. I don't think Apple will. I think those days are gone. But we'll have to just wait and see. We don't know anything about what Apple might do. They've hired everybody. And somebody just told me that Nike laid off their entire wearable team.
Really?
And I think that's an acknowledgement from Nike, premature acknowledgement for Nike that Apple's going to own the space.
Oh, did they all go to Apple?
Jay Blahnik, one of their most famous evangelists, advocates, did.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
We
just don't know how much medical, how much fitness focus they'll be, whether it will be a notification device. Those are the three things these devices can do. They can measure your footsteps. They can measure your heart rate. They can notify you that there's a call coming in. Nothing does all of those. Some Apple device might. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. This one also does sleep like the Fitbit does.
You have to wear it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is it comfortable? Absolutely.
Yes, it is. You know, the curve on it I like a lot, and I don't mind wearing it at all. The band is much easier to use, and also it meets the dust and water resistant standards, so you don't have to worry when you're washing your hands.
I find it hard to believe that it's the timing. It couldn't be worse. Just as people were giving up wristwatches, like everybody... giving up wristwatches except for the old folks. Now they say, oh, but wait, we've got a wristwatch. Seems like bad timing.
But we'll see.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see.
Dick, anyway, is at GizWiz.biz.
GearFit.
Yeah, GearFit. GizWiz.biz is Dick's site. Notes for this and all the products he talks about on all of his different shows on ABC and on our podcast, the GizWiz, are all there. Plus the What the Heck is a contest, a chance to win an autographed copy of Mad Magazine. Thank you, Dickie D. Hang around.
Thank you.
I think we're out of time. I can't believe how fast this goes. Heather Hammond, the Phone Ranger, thank you and your mom and your auntie for being here. Always great to see you. Tomorrow, Easter Sunday. Are you going to wear a little Easter egg outfit or a little bunny outfit?
Yeah, let's do a bunny outfit.
Okay, I'll do a little chick outfit.
Okay.
I'll wear my yellow fuzz sweater.
Nice.
And we'll have Easter eggs and chocolate bunnies. You eat the ears first, of course.
Yes.
Thanks to Nathan Staten, who will also be here tomorrow. And all of you, I hope you will too. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. Well, that's it for the Tech Guy show for today. I'm Leo Laporte. Thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget, the Tech Guy is just the tip of the iceberg. We do nearly 30 shows now on the Twit Netcast Network, and you'll find them all at twit.tv. We talk about Windows on Windows Weekly, Macintosh on Mac Break Weekly, iPad on iPad Today. You get your daily dose of tech news from Tech News Today and our weekly roundtable show, This Week in Tech. It's all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next time with another great Tech Guy podcast. Thanks for joining me. See you next time.